Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good morning. So let's get to it. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Mr. John Anthony is in for Dan Proft this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So did you watch it last night?
I watched it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was infuriated. I just said one word, pathetic.
Pathetic. Well, he started out trying to be funny.
Good evening. If I were smart, I'd go home now.
And actually, I thought, yeah, that'd be great. Or you could pull a Richard Nixon, who had one of the shortest State of the Union speeches ever, 29 minutes.
Brilliant. That would have been great.
That would have been great. But instead, I mean, he was a little late coming out of the house with Jill.
A little.
Well, yeah. Like
wasn't
10
he supposed
minutes?
To start at 8? I think he started at like 8:17, 8:20 or
something.
Yeah, like
that. And then, you know, he had to say hi to people, and people were saying hi to him and throwing themselves at him like he was Jesus and the resurrection's coming. But I thought that the whole event, well, obviously it was orchestrated.
Correct.
And the whole time I was thinking, when's he going to drop? When's he going to go down? It was, you know, watching Greg Gutfeld at Fox on 5 said it best. He said, it's like watching Evel Knievel.
Yeah.
And you're just waiting to see when he flies over the, you know, the water fountain at Caesar Palace in Vegas. Is he going to fall in the water?
Oh.
Is he going to clear the barrels? Is he going to clear the cars? Because that's what it was like.
Yeah, it was. I mean, just watching that stoic look on his face.
A doddering old fool. The best part of the evening, though.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to wait because the only reason why I watched is, well, one, because I have to because that's my job. But I want to know about immigration. Mm. And I really thought he'd reverse those 96 executive orders from Trump before tonight. Because I thought that would be the only way to save his campaign.
Yeah.
He didn't do it, though.
No.
Did not do it.
He did not. And Lincoln Riley, too.
Lakin.
No, Lincoln.
It's Lakin.
I know what it is.
So when he was walking in, Marjorie Taylor Greene was there with her, your hat, your Make America Great hat. And she was like, say her name. Say her name. Yeah. And I thought, this girl's got some chutzpah. Huh?
Yeah. Did you hear his response?
She's got some onions. Oh, no. We'll play it. But, so 40 minutes in.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm waiting. I'm tapping my toe, waiting for him to talk about immigration.
I'm told my predecessor called members of Congress in the Senate to demand they block the bill. He feels political win. He viewed it as would be a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand. But look, if we change the dynamic at the border, people pay these smugglers $8,000 to get across the border because they know if they get by and let into the country, it's 6 to 8 years before they have a hearing. And it's worth taking the chance of the $8,000. But if it's only 6 weeks, the idea is it's highly unlikely that people will pay that money and come all that way knowing that they'll be able to be kicked out quickly.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. What the problem with is what he said is, yeah, it used to take 6 weeks mm-hmm. to get your asylum hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's 6 months. It's really not that. It's more like 3 years.
Yeah.
That's his fault.
It is.
That's
it
on
is.
You, buddy.
Yep.
That's not on anybody.
Yep. Yeah.
And her death was obviously preventable.
Yes.
Preventable because the government failed her on so many levels.
Yes.
They failed her at the border. They failed her in New York. They failed her in Georgia.
They did.
So the Lincoln, kidding, the Lakin Riley Act was passed, and we'll get into that in a little bit. But first, we want to take your phone calls. Let's go to, Philip in Blue Island. Let's get into it early.
Good morning, folks.
Too early, man.
Marjorie Taylor Greene, there's only way to describe, one way to describe her for me is a lowlife. For her to just attempt over and over, first she wants the camera on her. Second of all, she's just trying to distract Biden. She wants him to stumble. She wants him to get off track. She wants him to, what's the word that you all use when they make a mistake? A gaffe, you know, a major gaffe. And he didn't. He stayed on point.
Huh?
He stayed focused. He stayed presidential. One of the better speeches that I've ever seen him give. And the Republicans were in their childish mode. They don't want to be agreeable with anything. They don't stand up and clap for anything. Even the thing they talked about in Hamas with the ship they're going to put out. Nothing even seemingly like they want to be a part of this union to make it better. So that's basically all I got.
So did he give you hope? Because I felt more or less it was a rant. It was definitely a campaign speech and not a State of the Union, not a unifying message.
At all.
What did you walked away feeling better about America? Because the first thing he talked about was Ukraine and not America.
Right.
Well, yeah, I mean, but come on. It's a speech that he got to cover a lot of different subjects. And so, I mean, he could have been like Trump and talked for 2 hours and then not made a bit of difference in the policies and so forth and so on. So he took an hour and 10 minutes, whatever it was, and he cut it down and he said what he needed to say. And, you know,
people you can't reach.
Phil, have you watched any of the past State of the Union speeches?
Sure, I have.
Okay, and you've seen the Democrats with their rancor and they're yelling at President Trump when he was president, George W. Bush when he was president, Nancy Pelosi tearing up the documents. I mean, and you want to say the Republicans are what?
But what I would like to say is the decorum is lost, and it started with you lie.
Okay, because he did lie.
With Joe Wilson.
No, I'm talking. I'm sorry?
Well, that started years ago with Congressman Joe Wilson.
Yeah.
You lie. Yeah. He was talking to Obama.
He was right.
Right. But usually that house is a place of decorum. It's a place of respect. And after and it started
with
Obama.
Yeah, but he's not respecting us. But go on. I'm sorry. It started with Obama. Yes, we know.
Okay. So to try to make it like just because the Democrats just that child is going after Trump. We're losing decorum.
They did Bush too. The Democrats went after Bush. This didn't start with Obama. This started during the Bush administration as well. The Democrats losing their freaking minds.
Okay, if you say so, John.
Okay. I'm glad you like Biden's America.
I just like America, regardless of what you think. I like America, and I just think that's
the black people, right?
No, come on, John. I mean, come on, come on, stop. Because I even like Amy. Amy know I like her. So stop.
Before we let you go, because we have to take other calls, is your life better than it was 4 years ago? I know it's a low hanging fruit question, but is it?
Personally, yes.
Well, financially?
Personally, yes.
Yeah. But I guarantee he's paying more for food. He's paying more for gas. Tell me how it's better.
Energy costs.
Yeah.
Paying more for rent. If you're renting, you're paying more for mortgage rates.
Actually, I'm not.
Okay.
Actually, my rent has been the same for years.
All right.
But now I understand what you're saying. But again, I think again, a lot of the programs that he mentioned about bringing in with child credit and you know all these other things that he was mentioning, I don't want to be too much longer. So you know, it was a good speech and it was a hopeful speech and it was a you know a progressive speech.
It was great because of the potato chips and Snicker bars and all that stuff. So. That's
what are you
we're
about?
Getting
oh,
less Snicker bars and less potato chips. That's what he said.
No. Too many corporations raise prices to pad their profits, charging more and more for less and less. That's our cracking down on corporations engaged in price gouging and deceptive pricing, from food to health care to housing. In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer... Same size bag, put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation.
The more you listen, the more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM 560, The Answer.
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 646-36, type in DA. Did Biden restart his campaign last night with the speech? The State of the Union. You know, it's the last speech before his election.
Yeah.
So he had a big audience. He could have had a big audience at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the most watched Super Bowl ever. Passed it up. Then he had last night. And then he'll have the DNC convention here in Chicago. Those are the big, large audiences. Did he do it? Did he hit a home run? 312-642-5600. I will tell you this. Lincoln Riley is the head football coach at USC.
Yeah. Yeah,
and was it South Carolina?
Yeah.
So maybe he got confused, but I'm not giving him a pass on that. He knows damn well who she is. And then he looked up at his wife when he was talking about, we know what it's like to lose a child.
Yeah,
and there was an empty seat actually there for her because Colin, Mike Collins from Georgia, the congressman, invited her family, her parents to come, and they, you know, respectively declined.
But, which I would have done.
Yeah, it's too soon, and it's, you know, maybe they never want to be political.
Yeah, I agree, because they probably would have been, you know, walked out in handcuffs, too.
Well, one person that was walked out in handcuffs, now that you mention it, is Gold Star father Steve Nakawi, and I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing his name. I do not mean to be disrespectful, but his son, Lance Colonel Kareem, was killed at Abbey Gates. Remember Afghanistan and that deadly withdrawal? So I don't know, as a parent, if I was in a room with a man who made the reckless and poor decision to withdraw from Afghanistan and it ended up in the death and the murder of 13 Marines, including your own son. Here he is.
All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office.
No, it's not.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then.
This one made me
through through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I might add.
First of all, we're going to address the safety issue later, but that dad, I got.
Yeah.
It made me emotional.
Yeah.
Because you could just see you could feel the raw pain that he is still going through.
Yeah. See, I was listening on the radio, so I didn't see it. You could barely make out what he was saying.
Yeah, he's saying, Abbey Gates, the U.S. Marines. Yeah. And he was yelling as loud as he could with all the power that he had.
And then they cuff him.
And then they arrested him. Talking about cuffs, cuffs behind his back.
Yeah. So he was a...
disgusting.
What was he doing? Interrupting an official proceeding? Is that what they're going to get him on?
Yeah. Now, what were you saying? How did these people interrupting...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mr. Phil from Blue Island. You know, I don't say nothing if I don't know what I'm talking about. I shut my mouth. When I don't know what I'm talking about, I shut my mouth. 1975, Gerald Ford speech. Mm-hmm. The Watergate babies walk out. And Mike Scott came in here and confirmed it. Then 2005, Bush, Social Security, they booed him. So to say that the Republicans...
Oh, that's right. There are a bunch of boo bears there. I forgot about that.
Yeah. So don't... I mean, it didn't start during the Obama administration.
But I don't mind. I mean...
I don't either.
You know, because he's got to be confronted.
Yeah. I bet you it was more House members.
Through life with these lies. He said the economy's fine.
Yeah.
The economy's not fine. Mortgage rates? Oh, mortgage rates are going to go down, are they?
I know the cost of housing is so important to you. If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well.
And, of course, the border crisis, not his doing.
No.
No, no, no. It's the House Republicans' fault, John Anthony.
I know that.
I would respectfully suggest my Republican friends owe it to the American people, get this bill done. We need to act now. And if my predecessor is watching, instead of paying politics and pressuring members of Congress to block the bill, join me in telling the Congress to pass it. We can do it together. But that's what he apparently hears, what he will not do.
What? What he apparently hears, what he will not do.
Amy, Trump was trolling him. Trump was trolling him on Truth Social.
He
says the drugs are wearing off. He says the coffee. Coughing.
Oh, the coughing was, I think he's not well.
Yeah. But Israel has Israel has a added burden.
But I mean, he's an 81-year-old man.
But you know, did you hear anything about East Palestine?
No.
Yeah. He didn't bring that up at all. The destruction that happened in that community.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was a divisive speech and. It wasn't meant to unify. It was just yelling. It was rancorous. He had nothing to lose because he has the lowest approval ratings ever.
Yeah.
So this is trying to restart it. He fell short.
I thought about something when I heard him say something in the speech.
What?
Did you know COVID is curing cancer now?
I'm sorry.
COVID is curing cancer now.
Is this is this your soundbite for?
Yeah. What?
The vaccine that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer. Turning setback into comeback.
Oh, this just in, really?
Yeah.
Because remember, when he was the VP, he was in charge of curing cancer.
Yeah, I remember.
So now he's found the vaccine.
He's found the vaccine. But let's not talk about them. How many people died from this vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Justin, can you hop on? Because Justin told me something the other day. I was shocked first, and my friend finally went back to work after 4 years.
Oh, yeah, I heard you say that.
And Justin, what did the White House press crew have to go through every day?
I read somewhere, and it was confirmed by a journalist who was in the White House press pool, that they had a test every day for COVID for the last 4 years. Mm. And up until like 2 days ago, it was required.
Yeah, to get into the press briefing.
4 years.
Wow. Four years.
Can you imagine getting something shoved up your nose or maybe up your buttocks?
Oh, yeah.
For four years.
Amy, ouch.
No, thank you.
Oof.
Well, thanks for bringing us. I missed that.
Yeah.
I must have gone to my happy place. All right, the phone lines are open, 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line, 646-36, type in DA, then a quick comment. Larry in Elmhurst, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. Before I get to my point, the only ones that would think that was an inspiring speech are the kids that are getting their tuitions paid for, and somebody who's been on the system from cradle to grave, but he's beginning to sound like Archie Bunker when he made that statement about giving everybody a gun on the plane. This guy is out of his mind. He is totally nuts.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call. That's,
Yeah, that's a head scratcher, Amy.
And of course, it was all about, you know, women's reproductive rights and abortion.
My predecessor are promising to pass a national ban on reproductive freedom. My God, what freedom else would you take away? Look,
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following. And with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power.
Get it right, it's wearing off.
You're about to realize just how much you were right about that.
You just realized how much. Can anybody complete that sentence? You just realized how much.
He also says something.
Because you don't talk down to the Supreme Court justices.
No, that's Obama started
that.
And Obama did start that.
Right.
Talking down to the justices.
But then I'm saying
speech.
I couldn't figure out his closing line.
Yeah. But he also said something about abortion. He said that Roe v. That the overturning of it
right.
is what caused the mayhem. No, the decision of Roe v. Wade caused the mayhem because it was not law.
But see, he said, if you elect me for four more years, I will reverse Roe versus Roe v. Wade. How the heck is he going to do that?
Yeah,
does he know how he's going to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're gonna stuff the mail-in ballots.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Bob in Buffalo Grove, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy, and great to hear you again, John.
Hey, good morning, brother.
Dan took a bad day to take off with all the topics that are going to be mentioned today. With regards to the speech yesterday, I could weigh in a lot of things, but here's one takeaway that I had. Did I mishear him say that he had Biden had two heroes, RFK and Martin Luther King? What about JFK?
Well,
he didn't reach to, did I miss that? I mean,
I thought it was Roosevelt.
Yeah.
I was confused because he came out talking about him right away.
Yeah.
That was like right off the bat.
Well, he does want to be more progressive than him. So, I mean, there's that.
That's why there's a picture of him in the Oval Office.
Yeah, there it is.
All right, Bob, thank you so much. Oh, yeah. Did you want to say something else, Bob?
Yeah. And then, of course, he would never mention somebody that had the courage, which was LBJ. LBJ knew he had a failed presidency and stepped down. When is he going to realize he's had a failed presidency and going to step down?
He won't.
Oh, very good point, Bob. Thank you so much for calling in. He's our favorite engineer, don't you know?
Yes, I do.
I
get the messages in the
Marty in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. Great show and great topic, of course. Couple things. Number one, last hour, your last guy leads off with this great speech. He leads off with Marjorie Taylor Greene. He didn't like her, so, you know. Number two, he brings up the quorum. I love when the Democrats bring up the quorum with that dog-faced California woman telling everybody, go disrupt your dinners, blah, blah, blah. Number two, he did not say to his wife, we lost a child. He says, I've lost children, too. I mean, you just go on and on. The thing about curing cancer, and then he's talking about he's going to bring credit card rates down and something to do with Snickers. You don't get as many Snickers enough. Then don't eat the Snickers. You just can't make this stuff up. But people fall for it, man. They just completely fall for this stuff. And did you see what's his name with his mask on?
Oh, Bernie Sanders, yes. Oh, you knew there'd always be one, and it's him. That's my Christmas ornament.
The beginning, he's talking to everybody without his mask on when they're showing him, and then all of a sudden they show him, and the idiot's got the mask on. Maybe that's how we cure cancer. We put masks on. I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to make light of it, but, you know, it was just a joke all the way around. And if I hear the word my predecessor again.
Oh, I know. He wouldn't say Trump. Thank you so much. Yeah. He wouldn't say Trump, but he kept saying over and over again, my predecessor. And at times he would just start yelling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ah!
Yeah.
And then sometimes he would speed up.
Whatever juice they're giving him probably pushed him.
Well, I was thinking he was late because he's getting a few B12 shots.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe slamming some Balance of Nature. Uh-oh. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I know the American story. Again and again, I've seen the contest between competing forces in the battle for the soul of our nation. Between those who want to pull America back to the past and those who want to move America into the future. My lifetime has taught me to embrace freedom and democracy, a future based on core values that have defined America: honesty, decency, dignity, equality, to respect everyone, to give everyone a fair shot, to give hate no safe harbor. Now, other people my age see it differently. The American story of resentment, revenge, and retribution.
That was
That's not me.
Toward, that's not his predecessor. You can say his name.
Wait, that's not him, but he's going after his opponent who's now the Republican nominee.
Uh-huh.
But you're going after him? Yeah, okay.
What I learned yesterday, he wants to increase the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. He lied and he said that wages keep going up while inflation comes down. That's a lie.
Yeah.
Another lie. Where's my wages go up? Blah, 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 blah. Anywho, that's a lie because real earnings are down 2.1% under Biden and inflation. Overall prices are up nearly 18%. Food prices up 21%. Rent 19% and power costs 29%.
Yeah, but Phil's not being affected by that.
Oh, no. Yeah. Just, you know, put your head in the sand. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe it won't. But his speech yesterday inspired me for Trump. I mean, I am ready.
Yes.
I am ready for the sequel. I can tell you that much. Carl in Northlake, you're on Chicago's
Good
Morning.
Hey, he did say in his 2019 campaign that he was going to cure cancer. So, you know, now he said he cured cancer. So we got that. But all the free stuff he was saying we're going to get. Not to worry. We're going to go with the millennial monetary policy that's worked so well in Venezuela. Just print more money.
Yeah.
You know, you'll need a wheelbarrow to get a loaf of bread. But, hey, it's all good.
He's a capitalist. Don't forget that.
Oh, right. Oh, yes. He loves it.
Look, I'm a capitalist. You want to make or can make a million or millions of bucks, that's great. Just pay your fair share in taxes.
I'm going to pack the hell out of you.
In fact, there are 1,000 billionaires in America. You know what the average federal tax is for those billionaires? 8.2%. No billionaire should pay a lower federal tax rate than a teacher, a sanitation worker, or a nurse.
See, I hate that. I hate that.
It's the same song and dance routine. They bring it out. You know, the rich and the wealthy aren't paying their fair share, and then they bring it back in, and then they bring it out. Last night it was out. They'll crawl back
Rush?
In the hole.
Rush used to have the numbers up. The top 1% pay 65% of all taxes.
Right.
Maybe it might have been a higher number. But when he says that, and when he tries to put teachers on the same par as billionaires, come on, Joe. You know they're not paying the same amount. They're not outputting the same amount of cash. Come on, he knows this.
Let's go to there's so many phone calls. Let's go to Phil and Maryville. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, morning everyone.
Morning.
Yeah, I just wanted to say if everyone paid attention, his last State of the Union he did, almost majority of his talking points this time around was the same. Besides all the few lies he talked about, I mean, just like he was saying, America's safer. He hasn't obviously seen all the carjackings, shootings. January 6th was the biggest thing since the Civil War, he said. There's never been an insurrection without weapons, and where 90% of the people are being held under trespassing. I mean, this guy is one of the biggest liars out there. I can only watch maybe half to three quarters of it, and I shut it off because it's like listening to a vegetable talk. But thanks, guys. That's all I got.
All right, and you know how he got pumped up for the event?
No.
He thought it'd be cool and hip, and you know, social media star if he got advice from five Hollywood actors who played presidents on TV. Are you ready? Yeah. This is great.
Some of you might know what a big speech like I have to do is coming up State of the Union. Any advice you have for me in delivering my speech?
Well, sir, in my capacity as president,
Morgan Freeman,
all I had to deal with was a meteor.
There's no crying in politics.
Well, what I hope is my politics doesn't make anybody else cry.
Don't forget to save a dance for the First Lady in the East Room.
And Michael Douglas. And then you guess who else was there? The star from Scandal.
Oh.
You want to get advice from a president who is involved in scandals so much that the show is called Scandals?
Lord have mercy.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission: to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630, and learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630, or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Dissecting the State of the Union. Good morning, Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft. Rolling right along here.
Yes.
What have we learned from last night? Besides that he's a cantankerous man who stayed up way too late past his bedtime.
This is true.
What did you say?
This is true.
Oh, yes. The Republican response, by the way, was by Senator Katie Britt. She's the youngest Republican senator serving right now.
Yeah.
And you know what she reminded me of?
Who?
I mean, she seems like a lovely lady, and she was at her kitchen table talking about, you know, kitchen table issues, the economy, inflation, gas prices, you name it. But most importantly, immigration, because that's what most people tuned in to see. Because I honestly thought that he was going to reverse the 96 executive orders before the State of the Union and then come out and reveal that, because then we'd feel a sense of safety. That didn't happen.
No,
it did not.
Look. We all recall when presidents faced national security threats with strength and resolve. That seems like ancient history. Right now, our commander-in-chief is not in command. The free world deserves better than a dithering and diminished leader. America deserves leaders who recognize that secure borders, stable prices, safe streets, and a strong defense are actually the cornerstones of a great nation. Just ask yourself, are you better off now than you were 3 years ago? There's no doubt we're at a crossroads, and it doesn't have to be this way. We all feel it.
I understand her passion.
Yeah.
But she reminded me a little bit of Emily Landon from University of Chicago.
Really?
Just the breathiness and the drama. But she's right.
Yeah. She was nervous too, you could tell.
Oh yeah, she was completely nervous. 312-642-5600 turnkey.pro answer line. Most Americans, didn't want to hear about a threat to our democracy. Because I think that they wanted to be more they're more concerned about how to put food on the table rather than if Trump is that threat to democracy. And Biden, he had to address those concerns and explain how he's fighting for them. And he didn't do that.
He
was
not.
Just an angry man, and he stuttered and stumbled a lot through this.
Before you go to the call.
Is your microphone on?
Yeah, it's on. Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yes.
I will say this. Biden is a threat to the Republic. Trump is a threat to democracy, because I've said this. I just did a speech the other night for John Boris, who's running for the 3rd Congressional. And in the speech, I said, you know what? I want to see death to democracy. I want the Republic back. Let's bring back who we are as Americans. This is a constitutional republic. And it irks me. And then people said, this semantics, semantics. No, it's not. It's a difference in how we govern. But that's I can get on my soapbox with that. But I agree. Biden is a threat to the Republic. Trump is a threat to democracy because he wants to destroy it.
When he viewed it as a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner, not really.
A winner, not really. I mean, he got lost so many times. Somebody just texted in. John and Amy, my favorite quote from last night is, "Blamahagabaga arara."
What language is that?
It's Biden language. 312-642-5600. Let's go to Al in Rosemont. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, Amy. Hey, John.
What's up,
real brief. Joe Biden's economy is where a plumber who makes $80,000 earn hourly wages feels like $50,000, and someone low income that makes $20,000, now their income feels like $40,000.
Yeah.
And so that's why it feels like it's getting better to them, and it's not getting better for us.
Right. I got a bone to pick with you, too. I know what happened.
Oh, what is this inside baseball
now?
No,
when he called in the other day on the morning asking, saying that he's not affected by what's happening in Chicago. Fool, listen, you know Chicago is going down the ringer. You may not be affected by it.
I was talking about Chicago, the downtown scenery. You know, Chicago is still better than Paris.
True, but I've been down there.
I don't know. I got to tell you, and this Laken Riley Act that was passed by the House yesterday, and by the way, 170 Democrats voted against it.
Yeah.
Including my congressman, Quigley.
Yeah.
Voted against it. So what it is, is if an illegal, so they already broke the law once by coming here illegally. Yeah. If they get detained for theft, I'm sorry, if they get arrested for theft, they have to be detained and then deported by ICE.
Yeah.
But the Democrats were saying that, you know, detained indefinitely, that's not fair. Their, you know, their due process is in jeopardy. I don't care.
Yeah.
That would have been, Lake and Riley's death would have been prevented.
Prevent him.
And then also, did you hear about this grotesque, this happened Saturday.
Yeah.
In the daylight, mm-hmm. They were in court yesterday.
Yeah.
Four guys, three of them have already been arrested for theft. For stealing from a off Saks store,
yeah.
And from Ross Dress for Less store,
mm-hmm.
Whatever. By almost close to $1,000. So then they're on a train, the Pink Line, which I've never been on the Pink Line. I don't even know where the Pink Line
is.
It's the Pink Line. I don't know. I know the Green Line, the Orange, the Red, the Blue, the Brown, the Purple.
Yeah.
But he's his sister romance, so maybe it goes out there. But he was on the train. They lured him over. So he's a 40-year-old guy.
Yeah.
They blocked the door then so that he couldn't go from car to car. And this 18-year-old grabs him, starts strangling him so badly that he soils himself. Mm. If he didn't soil himself, I think he'd be dead. Because they were like, ugh. And then they took money, $400 from his pocket, took his cell phone, took whatever they can, left him for dead there. And thank God there was Good Samaritans on that train.
Yeah.
Who alerted authorities, and then those guys got off and they trapped them on that train.
Yeah.
And now they should be deported immediately.
See,
that's attempted murder.
Amy,
all out on pretrial.
I would be
them.
A Daniel Penny. I'm sorry.
You
remember the guy, the Marine that got choked out the guy?
Oh, yeah.
See, that would be me. I couldn't sit there and allow that to happen in my presence.
Well, we're going to have former police superintendent Gary McCarthy, also deputy commissioner of NYPD. Yeah. On at 7:35 to talk about that and possibly the real reason why the National Guard has been called up
mm-hmm.
to police the subway.
Yeah.
Basically, they're TSA agents. They take before you can get on the train.
I agree.
They check your bag, and they've got the long arms and the rifle. Oh, yeah. Oh, you haven't seen the video? Oh, yeah. And some people are mad because those people are scaring them just because they have long arms and machine guns. That's too scary.
Yeah.
Well, go back to your safe space or stay home.
That's why I will never take public transportation again.
I'd
rather drive and park in your garage.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
You do. You park in my garage. Yeah. Just shut the garage after you leave garage. Rich in Indian Head Park, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hey, Rich, are you
Joe
there?
Pesci.
Rich, going once.
Come on, Joe Pesci.
Going twice. Rich, we'll put you on hold, see if we can get you back. Craig in Mount Greenwood, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
What's up, brother?
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen. Hey, John, before I get to my point, my wife took in her Saturday with me and on and everything. And she's already said you were a nice guy, but she added something to it. She says, man, he's a good dad.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
Hey, listen. So what I got to say about this, that was one of the most infuriating things. And here's why. When you hear so many things, just the opposite. When Biden and his band of pirates took over this White House and everything, and basically just destroying the country and the world, really, to such a degree, and then to stand there at that and give that speech, there's so many facts and figures. We're just the opposite. Our world is, the train is off the tracks in a major way. We're in real trouble financially, economically, safety, everything. All those things that he talked about and everything, it's just the opposite. It's just absolutely infuriating. And the people that clap and to think that's all okay, they're either insane or they're so dishonest. And that those people, they're just messed up and everything. Is that the way can you see how these people that like clap like that, there's something really, really wrong with those folks?
I know. All the Congress members, females were wearing white.
Again?
Suffragettes. Oh, yeah. They all had white on, as if they're being,
Yeah, and the whole thing is we're living it. So people are living it. We know exactly what the truth is. We know how bad things are. And he stands there and says these things that are just opposite. It's so infuriating, I can't even explain it.
I know. Yeah. It was a bunch of lies. Lies about the economy, lies about mortgage rates, lies, yeah. lies, and more
what
damn
lies.
What
he's talking about, well, I'm a good dad. I missed my show last week because I had my three daughters' daddy-daughter dance.
Oh, you did?
It was amazing. There was a lot of fathers there, too. A lot of fathers.
Their school dance or church?
A school. School and church is all in the same.
I don't know if you missed this, but this is worth repeating because the ignorance of these women, these leftist women on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, Jen Psaki, when they were talking about immigration.
Yes.
We're all a border state now, but they don't realize that.
And if you look at some of these exit polls, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. What?
Oh, that's a political ad.
Pardon?
I would make that a political ad.
Oh, so would I. That's a great idea. Mm-hmm. This after a 14-year-old was raped. I can go on and on about the cheerleader in Texas who was in her bathtub and this illegal sneaks into her house and rapes her and kills her.
What?
Yeah. That was in Texas. That happened. She was cheerleader, well known.
Oh, yeah.
And then the trooper in Washington State who is 27 years old gets hit by a drunk driver, illegal, plowed right into his trooper car.
Yeah. But everything's better under Biden's America, I should say.
Well, he gave me no hope yesterday. Let's go to Bob in Oswego. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Hey, I have, speaking of political ads, I don't know why Trump and the Republicans, RNC, didn't have ads ready after the dimwit and diapers did his thing. Anyhow, last week, Amy, I think you guys had a... I think it was MSNBC, and they had someone from Biden's team talking about the 90 executive orders that he passed right away that, got rid of all of Trump's good things that he had going on. Mm-hmm. And somebody should have picked that up and played it all back, and have Trump saying that I agree with this ad.
Yep, that's true. Yep, that would be good. And you know what? One thing, now that Trump is the nominee, whether you like it or not, because I was, at the beginning, a few years ago, I was Nikki Haley.
Oh, I remember.
Then I was Ron DeSantis. I thought, no, we can't go through this again. But the more and more he was indicted, the more and more I thought, uh-uh. And did you see Letitia James?
No, she was booed.
The big boo bear. Well, she was at... a ceremony yesterday in New York honoring firefighters, and she got heckled, and people started cheering Trump, and she simmer down.
Come on now, we're in the house of God.
Yeah, in the house, please. The devil's in the house
exactly.
of God,
that's
for sure.
Burned down.
I mean, just craziness. So the big question, too, now, will there be a debate? I mean, is it possible that there will be no Biden-Trump debate? And there has to be. Is there ever not been one in our time? Only 26% think Biden has the mental capacity to serve another term. Yeah. And that's Republicans and Democrats poll.
Wow, that's low.
So feeding into that, that's, you know, the American people should demand an abate because it's the only way to show that he has the mental competence to do it. Because that would be, I thought yesterday he was going to stumble more.
Yeah.
But a debate with Trump? Oh, my God. Don't you think he will eat him alive?
Did you notice when he stumbled? When, like, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I mean, it throws him off.
Right.
And you don't think Trump is going to go after him at a debate?
Oh, he will.
That's what Trump's going to do to him. He's going to discombobulate.
Field is down to two. Is President Biden going to commit to a debate with Donald Trump?
That's something for the campaign to speak to.
Right. Well, we know when the debates are going to be. We know where they're going to be. Is he going to go?
You should speak to the campaign.
In 2020, once it got down to one-on-one, Joe Biden said, I can hardly wait to debate him. How about now?
I'm going to sound like a broken record. You should reach out to the campaign.
Why is this a campaign thing?
Because it's an election. It's a debate for the 2024 presidential election.
I'm not asking what argument he is going to make at a debate. I'm just asking.
We're not talking about arguments. You're talking about his attendance. You need to talk to the campaign.
You get a lot of questions in here about these polls concerning the president's age and his acuity. Do you think that it is going to quiet concerns about the president's age and acuity if he decides not to debate?
What I can say about that is not talking about the debate. That's something for the campaign to speak to. I'm not going to speak about that. To your question about age, I think I sort of answered that. I mean, you know, you're going to see the State of the Union tomorrow. You're going to hear the president lay out his plans.
Basically, I don't think there's going to be a debate. Yeah. But he's going to hide in his basement. I mean, I just thought the Democratic strategy was, you know, we'll get him with 91 different felony counts.
Right.
And see what sticks, and that's how we're going to campaign.
Teflon Don is who he is.
Oh my God.
She's right. I mean, that is a question for the campaign.
That's.
It really is a question for the campaign.
But I'm sure they've asked, but what's the answer?
They're not going to answer.
I think there's
question.
Three or four on the schedule.
Yeah.
Is he going to show up? In the meantime, the mouthpiece for the D.C., the D.C. press corps, the mouthpiece for President Biden, was all over trying to sell the American people that he is doing great.
F you if you can't handle the truth. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. Not a close second. And I've known him for years.
You know, Biden trips. He stutters. But he gets things done. And
he's
rational, even if he makes a mistake.
All right, Robert in Bloomingdale, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing today? Good. You know, we watched the State of the Illusion address yesterday. I got up and walked out as soon as he came on the stage. My wife watched part of it, and she turned it off. And no, there's not going to be a debate of any type because this guy would be destroyed by President Trump in a debate. Trump would go for the throat, and he should. And Biden, I think, was juiced up yesterday on something.
Yep.
Maybe some alcohol or something because
he doesn't drink.
Totally delusional.
Yeah. No, yeah. Trump and Biden, they do not drink.
No.
But I do think that maybe he was late about 12 or 15 minutes because I think he was getting some B12 shots.
Yeah.
Or something to keep him. I mean, and he looked awful. He looked so old. Because if you watched a year ago, the State of the Union, that year compared to this year, there is a major shift in his appearance and his cadence and his ability to complete a sentence.
Yeah. And he almost walked. He's so much more robotic now.
Right.
You know, he goes and he's like.
Right. Well, and even yesterday, his handler had he goes, where he said hi to Justice Roberts.
Yeah.
And then he goes, where do I go now?
I saw Nancy Pelosi kind of pushed him up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people are telling him where to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, here you go. And I'm sure there's something in his, he's got an earpiece on it.
Of course. I believe that during the debates he had an earpiece.
Something's going on. Pete in Shanahan.
Oh, Shanahan.
Shanahan. Hi, Pete. How are you?
Hey, good morning, John and Amy. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, I was just wondering if we could find out which funeral home actually did Joe Biden's makeup.
Oh. I played into it. I mean, he looks.
He did.
He's 81, but I know some 81-year-olds who are very spry, and like my dad's 83, and I would trust him 1,000 times more than I would trust Biden, Because he's with it. He's not losing his mind like Biden is. All right, thanks, Pete. Thanks for
that. Yeah, it was not good. Yep.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. Only the biggest stories, only the biggest guests, and only the biggest opinions. This is AM560, The Answer.
This sounds like the best event ever. If you want to see the Chicago River dyed green while celebrating St. Patrick's Day, Trump Hotel in Chicago is hosting a morning with an open bar, Irish-inspired brunch, Irish dance performers, and a DJ while the river is being dyed green for your chance to win a ticket. Visit 560theanswer.com and use the keyword Trump.
Let's go, Amy.
Well, I want to win
this
ticket.
I do, too. Let's go.
So this free, just you can't sign up to win. You just have to sign up to win a ticket to go to the event. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, that again, that is going to be Saturday, March 16th. They normally dye the river between 8 and 10 a.m. So have you ever seen that, Jonathan?
Yeah, I have. Yeah. I've been down there.
It's
been many years since I've been.
Oh, we used to go to Harry Carey back when we were in our 20s. Uh-oh. We used to tear it up.
Amy Terry.
Me and the Rat Pack, John Garcia, Kyung Lao. I mean, it's just all of us.
I actually like him, John Garcia.
Well, you can like him.
Yeah. Yes. I know. I actually do.
I love him.
He's done a lot of reporting down in the Joliet Channel.
Yeah. Well, he's been there at Channel 7 for a long time. But my God, it's Chris Myers, Matt Piasante, Mike McGovern, Seven, like that whole zoo crew. We used to, own this town, man. Natalie Martinez, Anna DeVlantes, Rob Algis, all of us.
Anna
just
was
go,
a party?
Oh, she, well, we, yeah, Robin Mead, too. Robin Mead and I won a karaoke contest one year on the South Side. Thank you. Bing. Okay, and enough about that. Reliving the glory days when you're young and dumb. And Democrats. Uh-huh, that's what I was, but I'm a recovering Democrat now. But there is a Democrat that we know and love who wants you or thinks that you maybe want to pull a Democratic primary ballot because his name is Alderman Ray Lopez, and he's also running against Chuy Garcia. Whew, in the 4th District. Good morning, Mr. Lopez. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, John.
Hey,
and I will gladly challenge him to a karaoke contest, too, if I need to.
What's your go-to song in karaoke?
You know, you could give me some Johnny Cash, and we could start belting out Ring of Fire right now if you want. You know, we could go the whole route.
Yeah, that's a solid choice. What about you, Johnny? What's your go-to?
Chris Stapleton.
Pardon?
Chris Stapleton.
Oh, which song?
What's the?
Or do you really not sing karaoke?
No, I do.
Is this just a radio bit, John?
Chris Stapleton. Tennessee Whiskey.
Oh, Tennessee Whiskey.
Yeah.
How does that song go? Oh, see, I'm putting.
Really?
You on the spot.
No, I'm not singing. You keep trying to get me to sing, but I'm not singing, Amy.
I thought John was doing a Biden impersonation for a moment.
I was.
All right. So, did you watch the State of the Union?
I did.
For how long did you last, Alderman?
You know what? I have been a glutton for punishment ever since I announced my run for Congress, and I watched the whole thing from start to finish, and it was rough. Let me just say it was rough. But I love that we're trying to bring back the chicken in every pot motif from Herbert Hoover, and it's, you know, more Doritos in the bag for every American, I guess, now is the mantra for American success. So I just think there were a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of diversions from reality. Especially saying the border is secure and the country is the safest it's ever been. I don't agree with the president on either of those two.
So the person you were running against, Chuy Garcia, voted no yesterday against the Lincoln-Riley Act. If you were in his shoes, how would you have voted on that?
Well, my track record on that is very clear. I would have voted yes for it because I think that while we can accommodate those that want to be here and want to be a positive impact to the American experience, those that come here and choose to engage in horrendous crimes, drug activity, pedophilia, sex trafficking, things of that nature, they should not be here. They should be deported immediately. And that's even the rules for DACA kids. If you engage in criminal activity, you will get deported. But yet for some reason, the members of Congress who voted against that act don't see the value in only allowing the best of the best to stay here.
Well, we have
it's just moral character.
Okay, we have our lockdown correspondent, Justin Kosick, also our technical producer, because he's everything COVID. And what's going on? They're locking down a shelter? in Chicago?
Yes. So what I read is that a new arrival shelter in Pilsen was put on lockdown because there was a case of measles found. And they are now saying that anybody who's not vaccinated cannot leave the shelter. And those who are vaccinated can leave. And anybody unvaccinated will be screened and offered the measles vaccine. And they're working to identify anybody else who may have been exposed. So,
is this 2 weeks? Just 2 weeks? Do we know how long the lockdown's going to last? No, I know I'm being facetious. But Alderman, what do you know about this shelter that's being locked down? Were you informed of
this? I wasn't informed of this. I saw it yesterday on the news. But what I will say is when the young five-year-old died, that's the shelter he lived in.
Oh.
This is the shelter where we couldn't identify sepsis, where they don't have enough clean food, clean space to occupy. And it's no coincidence that this is the same shelter that's now on lockdown. And when I went on media and joined shows like this one, mm-hmm. talking about, you know, the unhealthiness and the lack of planning going on in these shelters that the mayor and his socialist allies are putting people in, people said I was gaslighting, I was racist, I was this, I was that. And here it is now, 4 months later, apparently I was very truthful. And we're seeing the negative impacts because not only on the migrant asylum seekers, but there are children in that location that attend Chicago public schools. And they go to schools without any kind of vaccination, without any kind of requirements for them, as any other student would need. And they've been intermixing with our homegrown Chicago students for months now, and I think it's going to get worse from here because the protocols aren't in place. The mayor doesn't know what he's doing, and his team isn't coming up with any ideas to contain this. And we know that measles will spread like wildfire if it's not properly dealt with. And we haven't had a measles case in over 5 years in the city.
Wow.
And here we find ourselves today.
And here, so were you satisfied at all? I mean, President Biden keeps blaming Republicans for not signing this bill. It has nothing to, even if they signed it, it doesn't matter. He needs to reverse those 96 executive orders that would secure our border. So do you think at any point in time, Governor Pritzker might wake up to this? Mayor Johnson might wake up to this?
No, I think they're all using for the talking points that they need. It's all about politics and money, to be perfectly honest with you, Amy. And the president is playing politics because he needs an enemy during a campaign. So he needs to blame the Republicans, which I get. He's not going to take personal accountability for the executive orders he repealed that opened the floodgates and let 8 million people come into this country. And he's not going to say anything about his Homeland Security Secretary, Alejandro Mayorkas, who allowed for these asylum claims to be taken, even knowing that there is no basis for asylum just simply because you need a job. I don't think the mayor or the governor are going to say anything because what they want to see is more migrants coming into our state so that they could have more federal dollars coming, just as they had under COVID. The migrant situation is the next cash cow if it is allowed to continue, because they're going to use that to get their multi-billion-dollar bailouts once again to help their governments function.
Wow. Uh-oh, that's audio. You know, this is just an observation. One of the things I really like about you, Alderman, is you know who you're running against. You could easily go out and play the same role that he's playing, or go left of the current congressman. But I just wanted to applaud you to say thank you for, you know, taking a stand, because it's not easy to take a stand in a city like Chicago. So I appreciate that about you.
And, well, thank you, John. And I will tell you that my voters appreciate the fact that, you know, if there's one thing you can count on from me, is that you're always going to get the honest truth.
Yeah.
Whether it helps me or hurts me, you're going to know the truth. And that's missing in politics. That's missing in government nowadays, because everyone's too busy spinning the narrative as opposed to just telling their constituents, whether it's locally or nationally, what the bad news is and how do we move forward.
Yeah, I got a question about ICE. When the former mayor severed the relationship with ICE, was that done through policy, through the aldermanic? Was that a vote put on that? Or did she just unilaterally do that? And has Brandon or has the new superintendent requested a reconnection with ICE?
No, that was done by an ordinance, and I believe it was in 2021.
Yeah.
When then Mayor Lori Lightfoot, the biggest D in town, introduced the ordinance that took away all the last of the carve outs in the welcoming city ordinance. Those few categories upon which we could, in fact, worked with Homeland Security and the federal government to remove people who were undocumented that qualified for sanctuary if they committed any certain acts. I've tried to reintroduce that under this mayor, and he and his socialist colleagues have sent it to rules in the hopes that it never sees the light of day again. But we have seen since then, obviously with this surge in asylum seeker behavior, criminal behavior, is that many people want to know why we aren't doing more to push the federal government to hold these individuals to a standard. Why the city of Chicago isn't holding people to a standard. In my own Gage Park, where I have a shelter, I was on a meeting yesterday, and everyone wants to talk about work groups and collaboration to discuss how you deal with their illegal behavior. But the one thing that nobody wanted to hear is, how do we arrest them? How do you get them fast-tracked and removed from the city of Chicago if they're engaging in prostitution, drugs, gang life, things of that nature, things that we don't need help with in the city of Chicago? We have enough of those problems already with our own homegrown residents.
So is that still going on at all the shelters, the prostitution, the drug dealing?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Are they getting arrested? Because I did go by one, the end of Chicago, and I was like, what are they exchanging hand-to-hand? Well, it looks like drug deals.
Huh.
Are they getting arrested?
Yeah. No, they're not getting arrested because we don't arrest people in the city anymore. And it's such a low-level crime.
Drugs.
And nothing's going to
wow.
happen to them other than getting a slap on the wrist and being sent back to the shelter, which is basically starting to show the weakness in the mayor's policy, especially with his eviction order, because he has stated that he's going to start giving people eviction notices to get out of the shelters. But really what that's going to do is just cause these asylum seekers to migrate, no pun intended, to other shelters.
Right. Or just take to the tents again, don't you think, wherever they want? Because it's a free-for-all. If you want to live by Lakeshore Drive, by Lake Michigan, just set up a tent. No one's going to take it away from you. No one's going to take it down until the DNC comes here.
Yeah.
In 5 months, I think they're going to take all those homeless encampments, all those eyesores, and just, I don't know what they're going to tell them. Maybe give us a week and then we'll get your space back. But there's one guy at Lakeshore Drive and Irving Park Road. He will not budge. He will not. And then you know what they did? They got him a recycle bin. Alderman Lopez, and a garbage can so that he doesn't throw his stuff on the floor now, that he can put it in a garbage can. Isn't that nice?
No, it's very thoughtful, and it's pretty much all we have available at our disposal right now in dealing with homelessness ever since the appellate court ruled that a person who is homeless can use any public space as a residential area.
Yeah. Oh, when was that ruling handed down?
Roughly 3 years ago.
Oh, that's why.
Because before we could come in, give services, help remove and clean up the area, now we actually physically have to ask for an eviction from someone who is residing on public property in order to move them.
Wow. Alderman, is Chicago ready for the DNC convention? I mean, what are the plans that they're preparing? Because I see this as something that, I mean, we're already letting military-aged men in. Is Chicago ready to do the DNC convention at this point?
Well, I think, notwithstanding the individuals who we let in, the fact of the matter that we have so emasculated TPD.
Yes.
And when the purple-haired brigade shows up to protest, and when everyone else, Antifa shows up to protest, and all the paid organizers show up to protest, they know what the general orders for police are in terms of rules of engagement, and they're going to push them to the max in the hopes that someone's going to get fed up and push back eventually after being screamed at for 4 or 5 days,
right,
10 hours a day. And then all hell's really going to break loose. And I think that's what they want. They want to destabilize our city, our region, on a national level for the cameras.
Right.
Because that is what emboldens young people and misguided people to join the ranks of these paid organizers, to volunteer their time and effort so that they can feel as though they are part of some sort of social movement when all they've been is all that's going on is they're being manipulated by groups who are just committed to the chaos and not trying to actually do anything productive for society.
We got somebody again, that texted in that
will be our police.
Okay.
We're going to be caught in the crossfires.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, but we're up against the clock, but I was just letting you know, somebody texted in, said that they are going to pull a Democratic ballot for you instead of a Republican one so that they could vote for you in the fourth district. So anything else you want to say to people that are on the fence?
You know, I will say this. You know, my goal is to get rid of the epicenter of Democratic socialism in Chicago and Cook County. That's Chuy Garcia. There's no Republican opponent in November, so if we can beat him in 10 days, it's a one-and-done deal, and I think we have a chance to bring some sanity, not just to the region, but to Congress, too.
All right. Where can people get more information about your campaign?
They can go to raymondforcongress.com, and I will also be in Brookfield for a fish fry tonight at the Irish Times Bar. Oh, so anyone wants to come visit me?
Irish hip bars?
Yeah.
can you believe it?
That used to be my old
drink? Oh, my God.
I used to go there a lot.
You used to go there?
Uh-huh.
What's the name of the bar?
Irish Times.
Irish Times in Brookfield.
All right, Irish Times in Brookfield tonight.
I'll be there from 6 to 8.
6 to 8 p.m. Alderman Lopez, also candidate for the 4th Congressional District. Always a pleasure. God bless and good luck with your campaign.
Take care, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
We're pulling for you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer.
On AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft today. Thanks for coming in, partner.
Thanks for having me.
And you had
a
busy night last night.
Yeah, I went to attend the Mike Lindell event in Barrington.
Yes.
But I was voluntold to MC it.
You were what?
Voluntold to MC it.
Oh, so somebody came up to you at the event and was like, hey, John, we need you to MC this.
Brett Corrigan, you know, he's big in Trump world now. Mm-hmm. He's like 18, 19 years old. We're in the restroom. And he goes, "Hey, you're emceeing this event." I'm like, "What? What? And so, you know, you don't.
Were you dressed properly?
Well, I had a hoodie.
Oh, there.
Wait, hold on. I brought a suit.
You
jacket.
You had me at hoodie.
I had a suit jacket, but I'm like, I got my brand on, and this Mike Lindell. Why not keep my brand that I have on black?
All right,
and
right. What do you wear? Oh, you have that on right
now. No, this is not the one I had on. It's okay to be black and right.
Oh, it's okay to be black and right. Where can we find this merchandise?
Blackandrightradio.com.
Blackandrightradio.com. You're also on the air on Saturdays from 4 to 7.
Yeah, tomorrow.
What are you going to have on your show?
A lot of candidates. Mark Rice for Congress. I got a couple of county board members and a couple of other candidates. I'm just going to do candidates this week and then the following week as well.
Yeah, because early voting has begun since COVID now, it's voting season.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I call it.
It started in February. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
How that one little pandemic just changed every aspect of our lives.
Yeah.
And made our elections less secure, made our borders less secure. Because all these people that are flying or illegally coming, and some are being flown 325,000 to 43 different airports in the middle of the night, you know, because they didn't want anybody to know.
Oh, you sound like Joe Biden. Why are you whispering?
Even though they can't register to vote yet. But they need them in these states. They were because for the congressional districts, they count, even if you're illegal, the census counts you. That's a warm body.
Yes.
That have babies.
That's
There's
right.
another warm body.
Yes.
So that we don't lose any more congressional seats here in Illinois,
correct.
Which we did lose one.
Yes.
And well, same with New York and same with California. All these blue states and cities that are flooding.
At one point, didn't we have
flooding people leaving.
25 congressional seats here in Illinois? At some point, many years ago?
That's a question
for
Dan Proft.
I have to look it up.
But I don't know if you know or got the memo, but Mayorkas, don't you dare call them illegals.
First of all, let me say that we don't use the term illegal immigrants. I actually issued a policy in the Department of Homeland Security. We use the term non-citizen to respect the dignity of every individual as a preliminary matter.
Got that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because, you know, they're into changing our rhetoric. They're into changing history, taking statues down. And now he just wants you to know.
Yeah.
All right. With more on what's happened last night and didn't happen, let's welcome back to the program Scott McKay, publisher of The Hayride, contributing editor at The American Spectator and author of Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. Good morning, Mr. McKay. How are you?
Good morning. How are y'all?
Hey.
Good. So what was the highlight or lowlight for you during last night's State of the Union address?
Is the State of the Union address?
Yeah.
I thought there was an old man barking like a dog at me while I had my TV on. I didn't realize that was a State of the Union address.
Yes, and one thing that everybody's talking about this morning is it's Lake and Riley, not Lincoln Riley.
When he viewed it as a political win for me and a political loser for him. It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really. Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of thousands of people being killed by illegals?
Well, then don't let them in.
To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself.
Now, do you think he really meant that apology that he said to Lakin Riley's parents?
Can I say hell no? Because I think hell no is probably the right answer.
Yeah, I mean...
You know, by the way, Lincoln Riley is the football coach at USC. I don't think Joe Biden actually knows that. But, then again, what I guess I should say is Joe Biden has zero command of facts at all that aren't on his teleprompter. Naturally, he would have screwed that up. But what's disgusting about this is... There's like five or six things that Joe Biden is capable of saying. And one of them is that, if there's any criticism of Joe Biden, he defaults to Bo Biden, right?
Yep.
So in other words, he lets criminal illegals into the country, doesn't deport them when they do criminal things, and Lakin Riley is killed by one of these. And his response is, "Oh, I lost a son too."
Right, but
it's like, well,
but
okay,
they
but
lost their daughter because of
his
policies
off the hook
that he
that
put
you
in
lost
face.
A son.
Right, and it's so infuriating. And it was all lies about the economy and about inflation and wages are up, inflation's down. Lie. I mean, did you get sick of counting the number of lies he spewed out of his mouth last night?
Well, and they have decided that inflation being down is something they're going to run on. The problem is this. Prices are not down. Okay? They may be increasing at a slower pace than they were before. But credit card debt in this country is higher than it's ever been because people are using credit cards to try to get through the month. Okay? So until prices come down, to say inflation is going down is not going to win you any votes. In fact, it's going to make people angrier and angrier. And I think you're going to, you'll see that in polls. But I mean, you're exactly right, Amy. Over and over and over again in that speech, it wasn't just that he was lying, because Joe Biden has always lied. Since he first got elected to the Senate, the guy's done nothing but lie. But, like, these are delusional lies. These are lies that people's daily experience disproves.
Yeah.
And so when he runs out there and he starts talking, about how wonderful everything is, and it's totally counter to folks' regular experience, I mean, you just make such a break with the public that anybody who's not a hardcore Democrat voter was more than happy to vote for Donald Trump instead of you. And I don't think his people really understand that. And what makes me nervous is when that finally sets in, what their reaction to it is, because I don't think you can trust them to operate as a normal political party. They haven't shown evidence that they're willing to lose within the system. They would, in fact, this is a couple weeks back, Rasmussen had this report about it's like white upper middle class graduates of selective universities who are politically left and have certain kinds of white collar jobs, and like 63% of these people said they would rather cheat than lose an election. And like those are the people making the decisions inside the Democrat Party. So what happens when like not only is Joe Biden a non-starter with the voting public, but there's nobody else in that party who is capable of carrying the ticket. Like, what do they do then? Right. And the fact that this guy, and of course, when I say this guy, I mean like the corporate Joe Biden, meaning his handlers much more than him. Like, you know, they sent him out there to give this shouty, hardcore partisan, far left, combative State of the Union speech when what was absolutely called for was a conciliatory, you know, non-threatening centrist type of thing that, you know, hey, guys, let's all get along type of thing. That's what needed to be put out there yesterday. And they couldn't even do it, which tells me we may be in a lot of trouble if the polls get to the point where, you know, he's not within 6 or 8 points of Trump in any swing state. And in most of them, that's pretty much we're about there. Yeah. And especially when you throw in the third party candidates like, you know, Cornel West or RFK Jr., who mostly draw from Biden, you know, that the spread, I mean, he's, you know, 5-6 points in Pennsylvania and Michigan and 7 or 8 in Georgia and Arizona. Like, you throw the third party candidates in there and that margin starts getting closer to 10.
Right. But if they know that they're going to lose, if they know that will there be a surprise at the DNC in Chicago?
And I mean, like, this is the question, like, you know, OK, do you parachute somebody in at the convention? Yeah, maybe so. Who's that going to be? Because, you know, they did a couple of poll tests of like Gretchen Whitmer and Gavin Newsom. And of course, they've also poll tested Kamala Harris.
Oh boy.
And like they're all worse than Biden. Like the public doesn't like any of those either. So,
nope,
like, what happens when they say, "Okay, Governor, this is an election we can't win"?
What about our governor Pritzker, who I have a feeling spent some of his own billions of dollars because he's a billionaire twice over to get the DNC in Chicago?
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
he had to do that. But what about him? Is his name floating around up there?
DC? I've not heard his name. I mean.
Oh, you know what happens?
Oh, that's Pritzker.
I'm telling you, they have people that listen to the show, by the way.
I'm sure.
I know that they do.
Yeah.
People.
Yeah.
At least they did, you know, when he was running against Darren Bailey.
Well, he's
so
spreading his money around, so, you know, I mean.
Yeah, we're trying to get back Scott McKay. But in the meantime, for a little laugh,
yeah.
Did you hear this new parody about Joe Biden?
No, let's go.
The parody song. Keep falling.
He's an old guy, has dementia, can't lead us, and the country is screwed. Tell some big lies.
Sing along.
Barely speaks English, sniffs children.
Sniffs children.
And their mom's hair, too, goes the wrong way. When he leaves his speeches, gets lost each day in the White House yard. All the Dems say that we should re-elect him. How can he run when walking is hard? And Joe keeps
falling.
Why didn't Justin make this song? Come on, Justin.
It could be him.
Keeps falling.
Justin slipped.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, this would have been perfect for Justin.
We're back with Scott McKay. Good morning again. How are you?
Sorry.
What happened?
Sorry about that. I don't know if I upset the NSA or something and the call got dropped off.
Be careful what you say about Pritzker. But Pritzker, he's not in the top five there to replace President Biden?
Well, the one thing about Pritzker is, you know, Pritzker is Obama, and I've said this over and over and over again. It's, you know, one of the reasons I wrote Racism, Revenge, and Ruin is that, you know, Obama is the force behind all of this.
Yeah.
And you can't really be the 2024 Democrat nominee unless you are some species of Obama puppet. And, you know, Pritzker would fit that bill. Now, the question is, can you sell J.B. Pritzker to the rest of the country?
Yeah.
And I have my doubts about that. And the other part of it is, I don't know if the Democrats can throw Kamala Harris overboard for anybody who's not also a black woman.
Right. That's true. I wouldn't diminish Pritzker in saying that he's Obama's puppet. I think that's the reverse. I think Obama was one. I mean, they sent so much money to the Obama campaign, and you know,
I went to his library.
Yeah. And remember, Pritzker wanted that Senate seat.
So. Oh yeah, we have the tapes.
Well, we don't have them all though, right?
No, but we have him talking to Blagojevich, yeah. saying, you know, yeah. what about that Senate seat, and how yeah. can I fit in and be one of the cool
right.
kids?
And I hey, Scott, I saw that you were on Tucker. Did you did the numbers surpass the Putin Trump interview?
No, it didn't.
They
but we
have.
Did get about 4 million views on that, which was
yeah.
pretty good.
Wow, that was a
fun experience. He could not be a nicer guy. He really couldn't. I mean, he's a prince, and you know, for all the abuse that they give him, it's to me it's totally unjustified. It certainly did a lot for book sales, which was good. I mean, like Amazon and Barnes & Noble sold out of Racism, Revenge, and Ruin
really?
Within like a couple of days after that interview going live. So
speaking of that book,
that was great.
Speaking of that book, I got to buy one from you, and you got to I want your autograph on it, if that's okay.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Hook me hook up
he has
with
black
me. We'll
and,
definitely do that.
John is the
he knows.
Host of Black
he,
and
he
White Radio.
Know.
Oh, you guys know
yeah.
each other?
He's probably mad at me because he's supposed to have been on my show, and I've been taking off so much that I couldn't get him on. But I'm definitely going to get him on. But you wrote an article over at thespectator.org. Trump's reelection effort is becoming the hero's journey. What do you mean by that? What is this article talking about? Because I've said from day one that I think Trump's going to have – he's going to surpass Reagan – as far as the numbers of the black and brown community, who's going to vote for him?
Well, I don't remember which poll it was. I think it was the New York Times Siena
yep.
poll that was over the weekend.
Yep.
And Trump's up 46-40 on Biden with Hispanics. So, like, that's, you know, that's like a big, big number. But, like, the hero's journey is kind of a classic literary archetype, I guess. Uh-huh. You know, like, the hero's journey, like – you know, the Gospels tell a hero's journey story with Jesus, but like, you know, Sinbad is the hero's journey, and like Indiana Jones is the hero's journey. It's like the intrepid, plucky individual who overcomes the odds and makes the world a better place by, you know, beating the bad guys and getting the girl, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And Trump doesn't exactly fit that archetype. But the presence of super evil villains will contribute to the hero's journey, even when the hero is a little off center.
Right.
And at this point, the Democrats are so nasty and so corrupt, and just so outright evil. I mean, but you know, Amy, you mentioned the 325,000 people that they've been flying into
yeah.
the country
in the middle of the night under the cloak, you know, dark
yeah.
of secrecy.
You know, and arresting people for protesting outside abortion clinics, and you know, sicking the FBI on Catholics who want to go to the Latin Mass, and all this other stuff that they've done. You know, makes them the bad guys, and Trump is against them, and so he's the hero. And the level of nastiness with this lawfare and everything else that they've done, they are setting him up as the hero. I'm not trying to say Trump is Jesus, but he might kind of be an orange Indiana Jones in this thing. And so, you know, like, and this story, like if he wins the election, then it's, you know, it's very much sort of a classic comeback hero's journey story that would not have been set up this way if the Democrats were even remotely, just like normal and conventional in their approach to politics. But, you know, these are kind of radical revolutionaries that are in charge of the Democratic Party. They want to break this country down. That's clear. And so the question is like, okay, who can save America? And the guy that's running to do it is Trump. And he may not be the classic hero that some of these groups like suburban housewives want, but he's what you got. And yeah. At this point, it kind of looks like if Trump can just be somewhat gracious and save his invective for Joe Biden and his handlers and to everybody else, just be kind of nice. I think he's pretty much got it in the bag and he can win this outside of the margin of fraud.
Well, I do think he's matured as a candidate because in 2016, he yeah. never would have had his opponents who lost to him yeah. on stage with him
yeah.
like he did at
yeah,
Iowa.
I agree.
And also Trump's tweets. Right. Yeah, I didn't like him at the time, but it didn't lead to wars, open borders right. and inflation. So I'm okay because
right.
I was not on Trump's yeah, team 2 years ago. I was not. But now,
yeah,
I'm 100%.
As a country, we've begun to realize there are much worse things than mean tweets.
Yep. Yep. All right, Scott McKay, right? We're going to have to leave it there. He is publisher of Hayride, contributing editor at the American Spectator, and as you just heard, author of Racism, Revenge, and Ruin. And I'm sure your book's going to sell out once again because you're on our morning show.
That's right. Thanks, John. Thanks, Amy.
Thank
have
you.
A good weekend.
You too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
All right, they unveiled the plan, the security measures that they're going to put in place for the DNC, which is 5 months away, and you guys may think, oh, that's a while away. It's going to be here in a blink of an eye. And there's going to be public places for people to protest because you know that there will be protesters if they're not blocking the streets or Lakeshore Drive, you know, entrances to Northwestern Memorial Hospital or I-90 yeah. on the way, you know, the entrance yeah. to O'Hare Airport. Oh, they'll be making noise come this August.
We just want to make sure that it is done in a safe and secure area so that that right to assemble doesn't get taken over by individuals who may have other interests.
Oh, there'll be individuals with other interests. Don't you worry your pretty little face there, Mayor Johnson. And then we have this guy named Jeff Burnside. He's Secret Service DNC convention organizer. He was at this press conference, too, talking about how they're going to ask neighbors. There's an app where you can download an app and tell them your concerns. What?
We'll canvass these areas in the upcoming weeks to hear directly from residents and businesses. We want to know their concerns now.
Snitch app.
Huh? So what they're going to do, they're going to put big fencing around the parameters around the United Center and McCormick Place. They're going to do pretty much what they did in 2012, NATO,
yeah.
when we had NATO here. Mm-hmm. And they kept talking about that, Superintendent Snelling, saying, we're going to do exactly like we did, the same playbook. So I call it the Gary McCarthy plan.
And with that,
let's welcome back to the program former Superintendent Gary McCarthy. He is also, as you know, the deputy commissioner for NYPD and the police chief at Newark, New Jersey. Good morning, Mr. McCarthy. How are you?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Sean. Good morning.
And I should mention, too, that you're currently the police chief at Willowbrook.
Willow Springs.
Let's try that again. Willow Springs. In Willow Springs is near Willowbrook, maybe. Maybe not. We don't.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's
a bunch of willows, but yeah.
I've only lived here for 50-plus years. But anyway. All right. So when you heard them, you know, because you watch the news, obviously, when you saw that plan, did you think, you know what, they just stole my idea?
No, I didn't. If you heard me speak back during the George Floyd, what were they called? Mostly peaceful yep. demonstrations?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Mm-hmm. If you heard me during those, I was very frustrated because they did not implement the plan and the strategies that we used back during NATO. You know, we did an after-action report where we basically critiqued everything we did. We talked about what worked, what didn't work, what we could do better, and we wrote it down, and it was on the shelf on 35th Street, and nobody thought to pull it out, dust it off, and use it. And, you know, I'm pleased, and I hope that Superintendent Snelling stays true to that. I didn't really hear much of a plan. I heard them talk about how it's going to be an all-hands-on-deck and everybody's going to work together. And I just had a chuckle to myself when I heard Superintendent Snelling talk about how they're going to focus on constitutional policing all at the same time.
Oh, yeah. Here's the buzzword.
Every single thing that we're doing right now is rooted in constitutional policing.
What does that mean? And John Anthony is a former police officer, and he doesn't know what that means.
I get it, but...
Yeah, well, I think it's called policing. You know, we have a constitution in this country, but you know it's funny. It's actually not funny. It's sad. I went to my first police conference a couple of years ago, out in Dallas, and you know, I went to the Major City Chiefs Conference where I was the vice president. I'm a lifetime member of that organization, and you know, it's some really serious, intelligent people. And I was really proud to be part of that organization, and still am. And when I went to this conference, I was struck by the fact that if you went to one of our conferences 10 years ago, we talked about crime from morning to night, got up the next morning and did it again. You know, we would obviously work other things into it. But when I went to this conference, all I heard about was diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I said, you know, our job is what's called law enforcement. And it seems to me that law enforcement has lost its way with political correctness. And, you know, you have to work constitutional policing into every conversation that you have. You have to talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion all at the same time. That's wonderful. Mm. And, you know, constitutional policing is what the Constitution says to do. So I'm, you know, it's something, it blows my mind, and people don't really know this, but when the Department of Justice came here after the Laquan McDonald shooting and castigated everything that we did, including our training, which, by the way, our training superseded the state requirements from the Illinois State Training Board, yet they castigated our training. That means everybody in the state of Illinois has a problem with their training. But put that aside, a year before the Laquan McDonald shooting, that very same Department of Justice was bringing police chiefs from across the country here to Chicago to learn what it is that we were doing that was reducing crime, reducing complaints against officers, and reducing police-related shootings all at the same time.
It was across the world. You had people from other countries too. I recall that.
Yeah, John, that's absolutely true. And you know what? I'm going to throw you guys a tip here because nobody has done it. About a year ago, there was an article that was written in one of the small community newspapers that the quote was that crime went down during my tenure, but complaints against officers skyrocketed. And I kind of lost my mind on that because it's patently false.
Right.
So I went online and pulled up all the numbers that are reported in the Chicago Police Department. And I found the most fascinating thing. And I challenge you guys to take a look at this. Go to the Chicago Police Department website and look up annual reports. And they go from 1965 to, and at this point, it was 2021. But mysteriously, it goes from 2010 to 2017.
No way.
11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 were deleted from the numbers.
Hmm. Now, why is that? Hmm.
I could tell you why. It's because from 2014 to 2016, the murder rate jumped by 54% after I got fired.
Oh.
So that's what we're dealing with.
Those are some real numbers.
You know, I was on a lot of different committees with the chief back then, and I'm telling you, we didn't always agree on everything, but what he was able to do in the city of Chicago has not been replicated since he left. And I'm not just saying that because he's here. I was on these committees with him. I was coming to sneaking into Chicago because my district wouldn't let me go into Chicago.
Oh, really?
Chicago. Oh, yeah. So I would have to sneak into different meetings that I would get invited to.
God, that just doesn't sound like America. All right, so in New York, because I know that you were there during 9/11 and you worked and moved your way up the ranks to deputy commissioner of NYPD, Governor Hochul has called in the National Guard, and here's her big announcement to patrol the subways, by the way.
Point one,
I'm redeploying nearly 1,000 members of the New York State Police, MTA Police, and MTA National Guard to conduct bag checks in the city's busiest transits. They'll start seeing them at the tables, making sure that weapons are not being brought in, working in concert with our New York State Police, as well as our NYPD. Because no one heading to their job or to visit family or to go to a doctor appointment should worry that the person sitting next to them possesses a deadly weapon. So why now? I mean, there's been crime on the subways for a long time. And, of course, you know, you can't forget Daniel Penny, who defended people on the subway and then was charged with, I think, with involuntary manslaughter. So why do you think she's doing this at this point in time?
It's going to be political. It's going to be political, period. And you know, politics and policing is just like politics in the military. You know, if you go back, I'm a history buff, and if you look at the relationship between presidents and people like Douglas MacArthur, they had problems. And decisions are being made that affect policing. And I got to tell you, I have enormous respect for the New York State Police. My brother was a state trooper. My partner, when we were sergeants, became the head of the New York State Police. They're an absolutely great organization. But they specialize in more urban environments, not places like the Bronx or Brooklyn, especially in the subways. So it's like putting them in the wrong position. The National Guard, I refused National Guard. There were demands when I was in Newark.
Okay.
There were demands when I was here in Chicago. And the fact is, you know, they are trained to go into combat, not to do law enforcement. So you're taking square pegs and putting them in round holes, and it's just going to be a failure. It's got to be political, and I hope to God that we don't have one of those crazy events where everybody comes back and points at it and says, what a catastrophe, and hold some poor National Guardsman or state trooper accountable. As they like to say, I like to say it's more of a pound of flesh that's happening today with policing in this country.
Well, there were some rumors circulating that Hamas is targeting NYC subways. Does that intel sound familiar to you? I mean, there's always a risk of a terrorist attack, especially since we're letting, the 60th one on the terrorist list just snuck into the United States last week?
Nothing to see.
You see, that really concerns me, but... You know, what the NYPD did post 9/11, and actually I'm very proud to say that I was part of it, was developing an intelligence system that really went across the globe. If you recall some incidents that occurred, remember when they blew up buses in London, we had a detective on the ground there within 2 hours, and we were talking to him via satellite, filling us in on what was going on there, because what happens there affects us here. Just like what's happening in Israel affects us here. So that concerns me, but the intelligence network that the NYPD has developed, and I hope that they kept it going, will be aware of what's going on, should be aware of what's going on. And, you know, they are trained and done these things before. We did them back in the day when I was in New York, which it's starting to scare me that I'm gone almost 20 years out of New York.
Hey, Chief, have you guys... Did you guys have any buses dropping off the illegal immigrants into Western Springs? And
it's
have you
Willow Springs.
Willow Springs. What'd I say?
You Western said Western Springs. Spring. No, now Spring. We're all messing our willows up today.
I'm sorry.
You know what? I'll tell you what. Don't even mention Willow Springs anymore.
I know.
If you want to talk about buses, I'm in Western Springs.
Western
Springs.
I was right.
Oh, my God. What is seriously, I'm having a very bad blonde moment. I really hope you forgive me right now.
I'm joking. I'm in Willow Springs.
But you know,
do not.
Chicago.
Okay.
So have you gotten any busloads of immigrants?
No, we have not. Yeah. We have not.
What about an increase?
It's a very small community. I'm sorry?
Chicago has had an increase of 500% interactions with the Venezuelan population. Have you seen any increase? Or are there any illegal immigrants in the Springs? How about that?
Willow Springs. No, we have not. We have not come across them. The closest was they were put up at a hotel in Burr Ridge. I believe Countryside around us also is getting some They're called new arrivals now. I'm sorry. Yes. Let's get the right phrases.
We're non-citizens, okay?
I'm sorry, Chief. I'm not PC.
But it's just amazing. Yeah, like
I know that, John. That's why I like you.
The Palatine Police Department, a bus came in and the Palatine Police literally, like, no, don't get off the bus. Follow us this way. And drove them to Route 53.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, everybody out here has pretty much come up with ordinances and plans how to deal with it. And we have the same thing. But fortunately, we have not seen it yet.
Okay.
We're like a needle in a haystack out here. It's not a big community, and I really like it because the people here actually like the police, mm-hmm. and they're willing to work with us. So,
oh, that's refreshing. All right, Gary McCarthy, former superintendent, former deputy commissioner, NYPD. Do you have anything to add, or do you want to say anything else?
No, just go back and take a look at those numbers because, you know, that's a Chicago story that nobody realizes, but that's the type of stuff that goes on around there. And it's really mind-boggling because during my tenure, we reduced crime, we reduced murders, we reduced arrests. In other words, we arrested about 30,000 less people to get like a 41% reduction in crime over the 5 years that I was here. And we had like a 40% reduction in police-related shootings every single year. Complaints against officers, crime, police-related shootings, and arrests went down all 5 years from the year before.
Now, where do you find it again? I'm on the website now. Which is it on the statistics and data?
Annual report. You know what? We'll go through
annual
it
reports.
Against the clock.
Okay.
Annual reports.
Look at
all
annual
right.
reports.
Police Chief of Willow Springs. Former police superintendent in Chicago, worked in NYPD, and the police chief of Newark, New Jersey. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Take care, guys.
You too. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM560. The Answer.
Good Friday morning. Amy Jacobson here. John Anthony in for Dan Proft.
Hey.
So we all watched it. You watched it. I watched it. This string of lies from Biden, who is very angry at times. And every time he told another lie, he yelled.
He did.
And then stumbled, and made mistakes. And he had a little bit of a coughing fit.
Israel has a added burden.
And I kept talking about shrinkflation, you know, the chippies?
Yeah, the chips.
Is this the silver bullet, the chippies in the mag? Is this what's going to catapult him in to another
more chips
round as president of these United States?
Too many corporations raise prices to pad their profits, charging more and more for less and less. That's why we're cracking down on corporations engaged in price gouging and deceptive pricing, from food to health care to housing. In fact, the snack companies think you won't notice if they change the size of the bag and put a hell of a lot fewer, same size bag,
you, President.
Put fewer chips in it. No, I'm not joking. It's called shrinkflation.
Shrinkflation.
I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder why that's it. And you know what also I've noticed too, ever since COVID, you go in, I like LaCroix water. Uh-huh. It's normally 12 cans.
Yeah, expensive.
In a cart or in a box. Now that was $3.99. Now it's 8 cans instead of 12.
Yeah.
And it's $4.09.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they're doing it.
Sounds about right.
So who's being greedy? And is this the issue that's going to change everything? With more on this, let's welcome back to the program James Bovard. You can follow him on Twitter at Jim Bovard, J-I-M-B-O-V-A-R-D. He's contributing editor for the American Conservative and author of, most recently, Last Rights, The Death of American Liberty. Good morning, Mr. Bovard. How are you?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Good. So is this shrinkflation the silver bullet that's going to save Biden's career?
Biden has got a rich fantasy life, and that showed last night. It was funny to see him take a break from his old yeller routine to suddenly start talking about the number of chips in a bag. And he was hitting heavily on Tuesday the issue of cookies. He was very upset about how cookies had shrank. And it's kind of like, you know, it's almost, you know, that's something which ties into his pitch last night on insulin, on making sure that insulin is not overpriced, because Biden wants to make sure those giant cookies are still out there so you get more diabetics that need Biden to rescue them from the price of insulin.
I mean, he even mentioned, and he dropped names. He was driving the Cookie Monster, the cookie. So it was crazy. But last night we learned that, yes, he wants to increase taxes because the wealthy, don't you know, Jim, have to pay their fair share. He wants to increase the corporate tax rate from 21% to 28%. Did he sell the American people on that? Because that whole shtick is getting old.
I certainly hope not. I mean, there it was very difficult to keep track of all the different BS in his speech. I mean, there were things he was just throwing out, like, you know, he's going to save house buyers money by canceling the need for title insurance. Oh, this is going to work out very well. You know, we're going to have Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac wrecking the housing market again, like they did in 2006 plus. There are so many different really bad ideas that he was throwing out there. But it's interesting to see that the media judged his speech as if it was a silent movie. And all that mattered is that Biden kept talking and waving his arms every now and then. And the actual content of what he said was didn't matter that much because Orange Man bad.
Well, did you – the headline in NBC News, John, look at this. Biden delivers fiery State of the Union, sparring with critics and swiping at Trump. But he never used Trump's name. He kept saying his predecessor, and he said it over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it was unseemly because, I mean, it was, I think, in January when Biden spoke near Valley Forge. He was very explicit linking Trump to Hitler. And that's been a message of his presidential campaign as well. And it's interesting to see how the standards of decorum almost have completely collapsed in the last 6 years in American politics. To see this, you know, to see the Hitler stuff beating. And of course, Biden is out there calling anyone who doesn't worship and defer to him a racist, and all this nonsense about voting rights when the most important voting right is the, you know, ballot harvesting and these mystery drop boxes that have to be treated like the ballots came straight from God. I mean, there are so many levels of absurdity here, but it doesn't matter all the lies and all the absurdities. If Biden wins in November, he's going to tell us again it's the will of the people.
You know, oh, sorry about that. You know, I saw that you wrote an article, teachers unions have always been terrible. I have an idea. I know it'll never pass, but one can dream. Just like police and fire can't strike.
Right.
Teachers should not be able to strike during the school year. Sorry, shouldn't be
They're
able to
They're not
going to
get out and walk picket lines in the summer because that's their time.
I know, but think about what I'm saying. Think about how much destruction that can happen if you have to. I mean, because your whole life is upended. Look at COVID. COVID showed us that we had to stay home with our kids. We couldn't really do a lot of things. I mean,
I've been through five strikes and one work stoppage.
Yeah.
And then that work stoppage, which was a bunch of bull jive, not even legal. They should have all gotten fired for that.
But here's the thing.
Then when they were done, they came out and acted like heroes. Like, just think of all the lives we saved because we didn't go to work.
Right.
Because there was a slight spike in COVID cases. And I thought, oh, my God. That was the one time where I thought I was going to lose my son.
What are your thoughts about that, Jim?
Well, it's amazing to see what the teacher salaries are in Chicago, considering that the student achievement has collapsed. It's fine to hear Biden saying that the answer is to pay higher salaries to teachers. But the entire government school system has been so irresponsible and so destructive. It's blighted so many lives. And, you know, the whole idea that throwing money at it is going to fix the problem, there's been so much money thrown at in the last decades, so much more money per student, and the achievement has nosedived. And, you know, it's just sad to see the teachers talking as if they have a right to blight young people's lives just to boost their own pay.
Well, and then they have this, you know, the summary of the CTU contract, which Illinois Policy got and others. And one thing I found very interesting is that they want their proposal from Johnson's Bring Chicago Home. You know, that's the real estate tax hike for housing, you know, we call it the mansion tax. that they want some of that revenue to go to House CTU members.
I just read that.
I mean, that's a big ask, don't you think?
Well, it's this is typical of the arrogance and this the unlimited demands of the teacher unions. I mean, big city teacher unions have been some of the worst thing that have happened to black and Hispanic children because they simply don't care about whether the kids learn, and they have a horrible attitude. It's something which is very clear nearby here in Baltimore. I mean, I think you've had like half the high schools in the city don't have a single student who is proficient in math, and yet the teacher salaries have gone through the roof. And there are so many things that the school systems don't do to basically keep teachers safe from violence at this point, but it's all about the money.
Well, our mayor is a CTU member and a former community organizer for the CTU. And here's Stacey Davis Gates. She's the president. I just want to hear this. This was Tuesday. She talked about what they want, and she's not holding back.
We are asking you to give us an opportunity to tell our story. It will cost $50 billion and 3 cents. Where's the Civic Federation Committee? Where y'all at? Where y'all table? Yes, it will. And so what?
Wow.
That's audacity.
Eric.
I know. And so what? You're paying, and that's the bottom line. That's what
they
think.
And yeah, and it's just it's amazing to see the brazenness. It's almost like simply being a government teacher means that people have a right to seize part of the paycheck of anybody who lives in that jurisdiction. And this is how it's working out. And there is complete lack of liability. It's the same with the teacher union as it is with Pfizer and the COVID vaccines. Federal government gave Pfizer a complete waiver of liability for any harm from those COVID vaccines. And you've had the politicians have done the same with the teacher unions for the damage from the total failure to teach young people how to read, do math, other things. And it's just, it's a horrendous, and you know, they're in Chicago. This has been an outrage forever. The Chicago Tribune had a great series in the late 80s, early 90s on how it was almost impossible to impossible to fire a really bad teacher in Chicago. And it's the same now, and it's like, you know, it's sad to see what people tolerate.
Well, we have teachers that are, you know, under suspicion, have been, you know, put on administrative leave for touching students inappropriately. They're not in jail, but get this, they keep getting paid until their trial is over. So sometimes that's 2 to 3 years later. Isn't
wow.
that, I mean, that's just wrong, but that's something that they negotiated through their contract, so...
Wait, and they talk about safety and security. Didn't they just remove all police from the school?
Yeah, well, that's going to take place
in
the fall. But yes, they voted unanimously. The school board did.
And they want a new organizing committee.
They want what?
A new organizing committee.
To organize what? What was that?
Yeah, the members of the new organizing committee sought to submit proposals that expand union rights for CTU members in CPS schools and for educators at non-union charter schools. We also made proposals to continue to keep the charter school industry in check and accountable. But they're not in check and accountable. But let's keep the schools that are actually doing great things, let's keep them in check and accountable, but we're not going to be accountable for our actions at all. Yeah, sounds about right.
Well, this is a typical how it's been for decades because you have the teacher unions out there wrecking every proposal for school choice. Any chance that parents had to get away from the teacher monopoly, the government school monopoly, the teacher unions that were there to try to lock the gate.
Yeah.
So many millions of lives have been blighted by that and by politicians wrecking the quality of schools in other ways. But, you know,
I filed the 51% trigger bill where parents, if they're not liking what's happening in their schools, they can file a petition and have their kids go and the money follow them. It went nowhere in Springfield. But, you know, I still believe education is the great equalizer. And for for black people to continue to vote for these people and put these people in office, they're not looking out for black people's best interests. And it upsets me and it frustrates me.
I agree completely. It's a complete scam. It's gone on for decades. Some days I almost get cynical.
Yeah. Oh, you? We're never cynical here.
On the edge.
I know. All right, James Bovard, you can follow him on Twitter at Jim Bovard. And he's contributing editor for the American Conservative and author of, most recently, Last Rights, The Death of American Liberty. Thank you so much for joining us and have a wonderful weekend.
Take care.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you. And he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Open mic! Open mic Friday! Call in now! Open mic Friday!
That's singing along, John Anthony. 312-642-5600. Turnkey.pro answer line. If you can't get a line right away, then, you know, keep trying until you can. Or you could text us at 64636. Type in DA, then a quick comment. Of course, we talk with the father, the godfather of Open Mic Friday, David Kolsek, president and owner, CEO of Turnkey.pro. Good morning, Mr. Kolsek. How are you?
Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good. So what do you want to start with?
Well, first of all, I was hoping last night, I watched painfully through that very, very angry speech, as everybody kind of alluded to. But I was just hoping he was going to, like, rip off a mask and, you know, like, there'd be, like, Gary Sinise underneath. You know, like, you know, surprise, it's just a joke, you know. But it didn't happen. So
how long did you last
today?
Well, how long did you last?
I lasted probably, well, I had, like, the commentary, the Trump tweets along with it on, like, the Real Broadcasting Network or something like that. So I probably lasted longer than I would have normally, probably 30 minutes.
Oh, wow. And it took him 40 minutes to get to immigration, which is one of the reasons why I was watching, not as a reporter,
well, yeah,
but as a citizen.
Well, yeah, he mentioned shrinkflation before of it, you know, right? Like, so it was more important to talk about the potato chips than it was about immigration. But
yeah, and people that are getting murdered by illegals that are here. So, all right, I'm sorry, I did not mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, not at all. I wanted to start out by saying that I like Charles Barkley. I mean, I always liked him on the basketball court, even though the Bulls played against him, right? And it was always close. But he was always a baller, and when he retired from the game and started commenting on games and announcing, I thought he was really funny, right? I even liked his golf swing. I don't know if you've seen his golf swing. He looked like he's just terrible. Anyway, but I don't know if you've seen it, but it's really funny. So, but he recently just It's like I don't know. He stops in the middle of it anyway. So he just recently made some comments that were quite controversial. He said that if he saw a black man wearing a Donald Trump mugshot T-shirt, he'd punch them in the face. And that was met with a lot of funny memes with black men wearing the T-shirt, you know, egging Charles Barkley to bring it, right? That was funny, too. But then on the heels of that, he also said some things that didn't quite square with the threat to black people wearing a Trump shirt. He said that he always voted Democrat, except for one time when he voted for John Kasich, which is hard to understand. And then he said that every 4 years, Democrats would give speeches about what they were going to do for poor and black people, which made him vote that way. But then he realized, as the Democrats, you know, really just were giving every 4 years kind of lip service and empty promises. So clearly Chuck's confused a little bit, but I think he came full circle and he realizes that, you know, why black people are turning to someone that seems to hear them and issues that matter to them. And I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if you saw Charles Barkley wearing a Trump mugshot shirt when it's all done, right? So stay tuned on that. But I also want to talk a little bit about the election in California, where Watermelon Head Adam Schiff and Steve Garvey, in short, they robbed Steve Garvey. He was leading Adam Schiff with 1.8 million votes. And just like that, it was cut in half. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Really?
Yeah, right before
And then Schiff got more votes by a razor-thin margin. Does that sound familiar? Something like 27,000 votes. I mean, it looks like more tomfoolery is going on in that election, so it's hard for me to have any confidence that we're going to have a fair election coming up. And I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way. Voting machines have got to go. We need paper ballots that are watermarked and hand counted. There's really no way confidence gets restored without them. And what's up with all the people stepping down or dying, right? Victoria Nuland is a notable resignation. She's the one who told us about the Ukraine biolabs in her testimony to Congress. Nuland's the definition of a state bureaucrat. She's an architect of the Ukraine color revolution. And she coordinated with the CIA to overthrow that sovereign nation in 2014. The problem is she's got a big mouth. flashback to March 8th of 2022, when she admits in a public hearing that the U.S. do indeed have biolabs in Ukraine, and that they're quite concerned that Russian forces are seeking to gain control of these biolabs, and they're working with Ukrainians to make sure the research material doesn't fall in the hands of the Russians. After she spilled the beans, every conservative news outlet, including Tucker Carlson at the time on Fox, was talking about these biolabs. Nuland is one of the slimiest deep state rats on earth. She's complicit in crimes against humanity. She's resigning because she knows her plot to overthrow Russia ultimately failed, and the incoming administration will hold her and everyone accountable. She's running before justice comes knocking. You know, I'm not sure if that'll work out for her, but good for her for trying. And then you've got Mitch McConnell stepping down from his leadership position and Kyrsten Sinema choosing not to run. Ronna McDaniel's too. You've also got to notice a couple of pretty significant deaths, one in Jacob Rothschild, the head of the Rothschild family, who some say has a net worth of over $1 trillion. Well, it's got to be a hell of a lot more than that, given that they control most every central bank in the world. It's significant to hear the announcement of his death, and what does it really mean for the world, the banking system itself? I have no idea. Maybe nothing, but maybe something. And then you've got to look at Angela Chow, the sister-in-law of Mitch McConnell. It's a pretty strange accident where her Tesla reversed into a lake where she perished. I wonder why that is, and maybe if that has something to do with Mitch having to step down or wanting to step down. Oh. I've also noticed lately that there's been a lot of insider selling of stock. That is, people who are selling their own company's stock in large quantities. It's unusual activity, but seemingly going on with some pretty notable figures. The Waltons of Walmart, Jeff Bezos of Amazon, Bill Gates of Microsoft, Jamie Dimon of JP Morgan, Mark Zuckerberg of Meta or Facebook. This small group of insiders is accountable for $11 billion of, that's billion with a B, in stock liquidation. I don't care who you are, but that's something to make note of. And then you've got this panel on MSNBC who's openly mocking the idea that immigration is a top issue for voters this time around. Jen Psaki said that she lives in Virginia and sarcastically said, what are they thinking? Then Rachel Maddow chimes in with, well, that Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. And just laughing about that. And it's just, I think they're out of touch with normal people, and they have no idea the damage that they're doing to themselves. You know, to add all this to the news, you've got all these politicians suddenly falling in line to endorse Trump just after Super Tuesday. You've got Mitch McConnell, not exactly the most enthusiastic supporter. Glenn Youngkin, finally, right, Virginia governor. Johnny Ernst, state senator, and Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, all falling in line. But you're not going to see an endorsement by Nikki Haley for Trump, at least not until the pain wears off. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the latest fires in the panhandle of Texas? I hear that over 1 million acres of land have been scorched in that area. Do you know who occupies the land that was scorched?
Who?
Texas cattle. Mm-hmm. Most of that damage has killed livestock and scorched the earth that they graze on. It's also interesting to note that none of that land was owned by Bill Gates or the Chinese, who've been quietly buying up land for years here. It just makes you go, right? And one last thing that makes me wonder is hearing Biden talk about the fires in Lahaina. I don't know if you saw this quote, but, and I quote him, and if you fly over the areas that have burned to the ground, you'll see in the midst of 20 homes that were just totally destroyed, one home is sitting there because it had the right roof on it. What? I mean, could that be a reference to the blue roof conspiracy theory that the ones that had blue roofs didn't burn? Oh, the horror, right? Remember that conspiracy theorists were right about Hunter's laptop, vaccines being harmful, the plandemic, the lockdown, hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin working, face masks were used as fear propaganda, Twitter being censored by the CIA, Epstein trafficking island, Ukraine biolabs, child trafficking, Russiagate, and all the way back to the fake Steele dossier. That's a big list of them being right. So what to think about all this disjointed news? First of all, it's clear that you're going to need to find a conspiracy theorist friend because you're probably going to need one. People like Charles Barkley are waking up to a lot of truth. Elections are rigged. People in trouble, they step down and they run. Elites have a special insiders club that we're not in. The media mocks us and despises us. Our government lies to us. Politicians only care about themselves, and conspiracy theorists are more right than they are wrong. The world isn't getting darker. It's getting detoxified. You know, the darkness that you see represents the toxins that were crippling the collective psyche of humanity. You're only seeing it because it's being extracted. So have a great weekend, guys.
All right. Thank you. Wonderful as always.
Yeah. Good job.
Very thoughtful in his commentary, and we appreciate and love him. Turnkey.pro, if you need anything, they're the ones. Consulting. I could get out the book. And
he was spot on about Charles Barkley.
Oh, spot on. Yeah. What do you think about
it? I'm going to make a shirt. I already made it. I took it off. off my website, but I'm gonna wear it. I'm gonna order myself one, and I'm gonna wear it. And I hope TNT is coming to a Chicago Bulls game because I'm gonna look on the schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get my friend Kim Goddard to give me some tickets to the Bulls game, and then I'm gonna go with my Trump shirt
with his mugshot
on it.
And what's okay?
And I dare old man Barkley or Sir Barkley to hit me. First of all, I won't hit him back. You know what I'll do? What? I'm gonna collect that check. I'm gonna collect.
Oh, you see
check.
If he's gonna put his money where his mouth is.
Put your money where your mouth
and
is.
And sees a black man wearing a Trump mugshot T-shirt and see if he clocks you.
Yeah, as I've said, I got into with the guy from South Carolina. I'm damn proud to be MAGA. I really am, and I'm not ashamed of it. I've never been ashamed of being MAGA. Everybody could be the Obama acolytes, but I can't say that I support somebody. And listen, I don't agree with everything Trump does. I don't agree with everything he says, but I know he's the man for the job. I know this. He's already proven what he can do and what he can be.
Yeah, and remember, a vote for Biden in November is a vote for allowing more illegal criminals to enter our country.
Correct.
That's all you got to remember. That's all you got to know. All right, to the phone lines we go, 312-642-5600. Let's go to Bill in Waukegan. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Gold Star dad, Steve Nakui. I don't know if I pronounced his last name properly or not, but what a great outburst. If there's going to be an area or an event to make your voice heard. I have so much props for Steve Nakui. God bless him and for what he stands for. I would have done the same thing. I tell you, I'm a father of an Air Force Master Sergeant, and I got to tell you that I would have used that event for that outburst to show my anger and how the president has taken this country down. And one last thing, to both of you, I just finally retired on the 29th of February after 49 years, 41 with the military and 8 with Department of Defense. So have a great weekend. I love you guys.
Wow. Thank you so much for your service. Good job.
Great.
And this is the moment where Steve Nakui took it to Biden.
Yeah. All Americans deserve the freedom to be safe. And America is safer today than when I took office.
Such a lie.
Year before I took office, murder rates went up 30%. 30% they went up. The biggest increase in history. It was then, through my American Rescue Plan, which every American voted against, I'm mad at.
He was shouting, Abby Gates, 13 Marines killed.
Right.
Because his son, Lance Colonel Kareen, was killed by a terrorist suicide bomber during Joe Biden's disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan.
You mean the real insurrection?
Yeah.
That was an insurrection. That was a real insurrection. You want to call what happened in J6 an insurrection? No. Look at what happened in Afghanistan. Look what's happened in Nigeria. Those are insurrections.
Ah. And when it came to Jan 6, ooh, boy.
January 6th lies about the 2020 election and the plots to steal the election posed a great, gravest threat to U.S. democracy since the Civil War.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
You're comparing January 6th to the most deadly war. We lost more Americans than any other war because we were fighting against each other.
Yeah.
The Civil War. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds about right.
All right. Tom in Blue Island. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning, Amy. John, my man.
What's up, brother?
Hey, before we go any further, everybody watch out for Steve that just got off the phone. He could be deep state if he was in the Department of Defense for 7 years. Just kidding. Hey, John, I'm going to lay something out to you tomorrow.
Okay.
On why Trump has to pick Ron DeSantis as his running mate.
That's who I've called for.
I want Ron DeSantis to be in charge of Department of Defense.
He's got to be the next president, Amy, after Trump. And I'm going to make a good argument tomorrow to John on why I think Trump is going to do it.
Quite the tease. Okay.
Did he hang up?
Yeah. Hey, yesterday, any of us were teenagers or early 20s and you were having sitting around having drinking games, and when the fool in charge was going to repeat something, I would have bet it was going to be MAGA extremists. But in actuality, what it ended up being was, history is going to judge us. If that guy was going to say history is going to judge us one more time, I think my head was going to pop off. And the only thing that's right about that is history's going to judge this guy to be a fool. Now, the bigger point, though, is we hear over and over that the Trump supporters are decidedly for Trump, not going to change their minds, and that the Biden voters are decidedly for Biden. And there's just a small percentage of people, who are the quote unquote great unwashed, as Rush used to call them, the undecideds. And you would have thought if you were trying to make a case against an opponent, you would have at least had the nuts to say his name as opposed to saying over and over, my predecessor. It was as if he was afraid that if he said Trump's name a couple too many times, that he was going to pop out on that dais like Beetlejuice and start slapping the crap out of him.
Okay. All right, Tom. Thank you so
much. Have a good day, my man.
All right. See you tomorrow. Well, you'll hear him tomorrow. All right, let's take a break from the State of the Union. Ralph and Wilmette, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. pardon, Amy, the high school basketball issue with the guy playing on the girls' team and injuring three other players. I would think that if you're on a team, a girl on a team, if you injure another player or especially two other players, wouldn't you get a penalty or be pulled out of the game by some rule?
Technical, possibly. Yeah, no, he wasn't. He actually ended up injuring three players, and that was all before halftime. And then the coach was like, you know what? I'm out. My bench is dwindling, and we have a playoff game next week, and I'm out of here. So they took their toys and went home.
Wouldn't the player who's injuring other players, wouldn't they be pulled out for doing that?
I don't know. It all depends on the referees, and you never know what you're going to get with a referee. Thanks, Ralph, for the phone call. Let's see. Rich, our good friend Rich in Indian Head Park. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Amy. Good morning, John. How are you guys doing today?
All right.
Good.
Well, what I took away from last night was the response to Biden was all about the American people and their struggle under Biden, whereas Biden was more of a campaign speech trolling for votes. He bragged about how many jobs he created. Well, we really know that over 12 million of them came back from when COVID hit. And he keeps saying that every time he talks, that he saved $1 trillion in the deficit. Well, if he did, how come the deficit keeps going up? And another thing is, he keeps talking about getting votes when he brings up abortion and IVF, and talks about how Congress should do something about the borders. Well, nobody can do anything about the borders but him. All he has to do is reverse his predecessor's policies, and everything will be okay. And the last thing is, and the most important thing is, and the biggest lie is, that the economy is good and inflation is down. So if we don't get this next election stolen from us, I think this will be the last time you hear from him on a State of the Union. Thanks, guys. You guys have a nice weekend.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it. Well, it is the last State of the Union before the November election.
Do you know who actually said that? What? That General Mike Flynn. MC'd that event, he basically said, "If Trump doesn't win this election, America's going to be in a deep hurt, and he's afraid of what they're going to do." Remember,
our economy's going to crumble. We will be in a recession.
He knows more about this stuff than we do. He was an NSA guy. He was there. He saw the secrets. He saw the dirt. He saw the ugliness.
Did he say anything more?
He said he's writing a book.
Oh.
But that's why, remember, when Barack came, Trump, he told Trump, watch out for North Korea, and Michael Flynn. That's the only thing he said. That's the advice he gave Trump. Watch out for North Korea and General Mike Flynn.
Why?
Obama was afraid of him. He knows the dirt. He knows where the bodies are. Just like former governor Rob Blagojevich knows where the dirt is and where the bodies are.
Oh, yeah. Dawn in Naperville, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my phone call. Listen, I think we do need to look at this objectively, and I was happy to hear President Biden say he wanted to expand high-quality tutoring and summer learning for students who can't read by third grade. Hopefully, we've got a plan for kids who can't read after third grade. But I thought that was good. I did like hearing that. But, you know, he really kind of confused me. I thought the purpose of the State of the Union was to give the current health of America. So, you know, you have to put it in perspective for people. So you're going to explain, here was the baseline function of when I took office. These are the programs I put in place. And that, and, you know, you might give data, you might give stats. And then here's the current function of the economy or border security or, right. You know, the problem is the current function has to be tied to what people are experiencing at home. You can't be dismissive. And the problem is he was so dismissive when especially when he was talking about the economy. And at the end of the day, people are going to vote with their wallet. They vote with facts. And I think he did more harm to himself only because he was so dismissive. I mean, it was not effective. And that's why you're not even going to talk about your opponent. Why would you even talk about your opponent? You're going to be bragging so much about what you did.
Right.
And the problem to me is he didn't really have anything to brag about.
No, that's why the speech should have been like Richard Nixon's back in the day when it was 29 minutes. That's what it should, I wanted them to tighten it up. But yes. All right. Dawn.
Thanks, Amy. Amy, I have one question. Do you ever watch The Crown?
Oh, of course. I'm a Czech.
I do watch. Hey, I watch it.
Sorry. Check your gender at the door. Hey. Yes.
You brought up Margaret Thatcher and the quote that Nikki Haley did, but I was wondering if the No Enemies poem, I thought Gillian Anderson did her very well. She seemed a little on the stiff side, but I would love if Frank from Arlington Heights could do some history about Margaret Thatcher and specifically that poem.
Oh, we can
No Enemies is an excellent poem.
Okay. Thank you, Dawn.
Hey, well, come
appreciate
on.
Appreciate it. I got a chance to meet Margaret Thatcher, but I couldn't ask her any questions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was in Tucson.
You get a picture?
No. It was very, very staged event. It was, she walked, where was that? Las Palmas or, I can't remember. The Dove, whatever the Dove is in Spanish.
Yeah.
And she came out. And she was very nice, and I was like, hi, can I ask you a question?
No.
And smile and wave, and then walk right back in. So that's my brush with Margaret.
I'm watching this show. You ever heard this show called The Rookie?
No.
It's a police show, right, about a rookie coming on. I mean, it's turned very left now. I finally caught up. I'm on season 6 now.
Well, don't watch it anymore.
No. But
don't give them money.
It still reminds me.
Don't give them
me.
Hits and clicks.
It still reminded me of when I was a cop. So that's what I like about it.
Is it on Netflix, did you
it's
say?
It's on Hulu.
Hulu.
Well, it comes on ABC7. But
oh, yeah,
yeah, TV.
That's. Yeah.
I don't have an antenna.
So that's Hulu, yeah. Okay, Terry in Rogers Park. Good morning. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Okay. Maybe teachers don't teach kids reading and writing is because teachers weren't taught how to teach reading and writing by the colleges they went to.
Oh, okay. That's a possibility. Thanks, Terry. I real quickly want to tell you about bank jacking. I've been trying to get this through. Well, this is your public service announcement for all you ladies and maybe you men who live in Chicago. We have carjacking, but now we have bank jacking. And here's a victim of bank jacking and what went down on Roscoe and Damon, one of the bars around there.
We had three guys come out of the car, all three of them armed with guns, masked, hooded, demanding all of our stuff. They were all holding their guns up to me, telling me to give them my passcodes to my phone.
And guess what they did?
What?
So they did passcode for the phone or Face ID. And then everybody has their mobile app on your phone. They drained her bank account. They drained her savings account.
Zelle,
PayPal, Venmo, but they drained. Because if they get your information... Okay. Then they can just go to town, and the banks will not reimburse you.
But they're sending it to a place where the police can track, though, right?
It's not. They get that money and go before police. You just heard Gary McCarthy, the former superintendent, they're not arresting people.
Yeah.
So delete, here's your PSA for today. When you're walking around the city, delete your mobile banking app because that is the best way to protect yourself. And how many people have their credit card app?
A lot of them.
I mean, come on. Click Apple Pay. You can just buy some boop.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I disconnected all that.
Oh, yeah, you did?
I disconnected. I don't have, I can't use Cash apps. I can't do any of that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to do that?
Partly for that reason, but I just didn't want all my information, especially with AI and all that. I know. I heard Dan yesterday talking about, was it Sean Thompson talking about he's a big supporter of AI. I don't trust AI.
Oh, I don't trust AI.
I don't trust it. I don't trust phones.
So AI, you know, we were talking about Tyler Perry, how he was going to build this big complex in Georgia to expand his movie studio. And then he saw one film on AI. Yeah. What was it called? Something with an S. And then decided, I don't need to do that. So people are going to lose their jobs in Hollywood. Oh, so sad. Too bad. But I met this kid, John, who was at Georgia Tech, France, with my son. And his dad is a stunt car driver.
Oh.
And has been. So I said, well, where are you from? You know, I was just talking to him. And he's like, well, I grew up in California. My dad's a stunt car driver. And then we moved out to Georgia because, you know, that's like a mini Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And there's work in Nashville and all that. He said, but, you know, they don't need him anymore.
No.
Or his whole group. They don't need, because they have AI.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, that's an industry we don't rarely think about. But that's something else that's being destroyed because of technology.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm truly becoming one.
Uh-oh, what do you got?
No, I'm just saying.
Are you a mini David Kulczak?
Right. I mean, because you're starting to see. I didn't like the guy. What's the guy that just got sued for $1 billion? The turtles. I mean, the frogs.
Turtles?
The frogs. Remember, he's the guy
carpet,
that said.
Carpet lamp? What are we?
Alex Jones.
Okay, Alex.
I wasn't a big fan of him. But when you look at almost everything he said has come to pass, Amy, That's scary.
I can't listen to him because of the Sandy Hook thing. I'm
just saying that's scary.
All right. Let's end our argument here. Carol and Moments, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Well, good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Okay. Well, you know, I think President Biden missed an excellent opportunity to promote his anti-obesity program with, groceries being 20% more and packaging being smaller. That's an anti-obesity program right there. You just sort of dwindle down.
That's a good idea. Thanks, Carol. Appreciate you. Let's go to Kevin in Austin, Texas. Uh-oh.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Now that Trump is going to be the nominee, it's important that he's going to need backup in the U.S. House. And there are going to be at least four opportunities that they're focusing on in Illinois for congressional seats, 6, 11, 14, and 17. I think it's important that your listeners who get engaged in those campaigns, because he's going to need backup in the House. The Republicans, what, they have 2-seat majority right now?
Right.
It's not enough.
No, I know. It gets me. I lose sleep.
Oh, because they kicked somebody
that.
Out. Yeah. Oh.
Well, George Santos was there last night.
I'm sorry. They should have never done that. Republicans, this is how stupid and dumb the Republicans are. You kick out somebody. No, the voters put him in there. Let the voters kick him out.
Right.
That's simple. But you plan along because
his lies kept. When he said he was a libero in college, like that is the end of the line for
me.
Let the voters decide.
Let the voters decide in this next election. If they don't want him there, they'll kick him out. I just believe that.
Okay. All right. Who's also as frustrated as you maybe is Ken in Geneva here on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi, Ken.
Hi, great show. I was frustrated because the media that built Biden to be a bumbling idiot, that he would trip on his shoelace, he actually exceeded expectations because expectations were so low, and he pre-sold his audience the need to vote for Congress. So we got to be careful not to be lulled into this belief that he's a total dolt. He is a dolt, but he's not a total dolt. He actually finished his speech, so we got to watch out. They're a little more cunning than we think, and I think this was a warning shot that, hey, we're starting to take it for granted and joke around about this dolt, but he actually finished his speech without tripping on his shoelace, which is exceeding expectations.
Yeah, he didn't fall down.
I totally agree.
That's right. Yeah. And he didn't fall asleep before I did. I nodded off before he did.
You saw the moments where it was happening. Every time he got interrupted,
That's then why I woke. That's when I was like, wait.
That's why
wait.
He reached for the water. He reached down for the water. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he was easily distracted.
Yeah, easily. Especially MTG. She.
Oh man, she's got
savage.
Some onions. Woo.
She's a savage.
Carl in Marionette Park. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, Amy and John. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I'm sorry I can't articulate so well and it's hard for me to speak because of a chronic illness. But I think it was despicable when Joe Biden had mentioned Lakey Riley only being one statistic because of the thousands and thousands of immigrants coming over here. He spit on her grave is what he did. You know, she's somebody's daughter and granddaughter and sibling and best friend. And he sweeps it under the rug like it's no big deal.
I know. There was no sincerity there. He was just going through the motions. And he did grab a pin, a Lakin Riley pin, from Marjorie Taylor Greene on the way in, which I was surprised.
Yeah.
And she's like, say her name.
Was that what he was showing?
Because he grabbed it. Yeah. It was near his glass of water. Grabbed it, and then he was like, I am saying her name. Lincoln Riley.
Yeah,
like, no, she's not the football coach at USC. All right, let's go to Michael in Crown Point. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, yeah, Michael. Hello. I just wanted to make a comment as far as what you guys were talking about earlier in the segment as far as, like, constitutional policing done by in Chicago and then how that kind of refers to the situation in New York as far as the National Guard being deployed there. It's not constitutional policing. What's being done in those New York subways is just a crazy violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. They can't just illegally search your property without telling you, without probable cause or anything like that. And just wanted to say, you know, we need to get back to the roots of true constitutional policing. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true because a lot of people are not taking the subway because of that because they don't want the cops going through their bags.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if it's not for they're not doing anything nefarious, but
yeah,
they don't want.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't take it?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
What I found was amazing was that before COVID, 5 million people a day took the subway. Mm-hmm. Guess what it's at now? 3 million.
Oh, really?
Two
in Chicago
million?
Or New York?
No, New York.
Okay.
New York. All right, let's close it out with Chuck from Delavan. Hi, Chuck. How are you?
Hey, Phil and Reggie, Mike and Barb, see you tonight at Foley's for karaoke. Yesterday was the seventh year since Donald Trump had Ryan Owens' widow from Peoria stand up and be honored in the upper balconies there. And she was standing there crying. Her husband died protecting our country, and not one Democrat stood up and clapped. When you cannot honor the widow of a fallen soldier, that was the day our country died. We do not have a country. And everybody that's all worried about crime, open carry. That's what you got to do. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too. Thanks so much, Chuck, and thanks to everyone. So tomorrow on your show, I'm looking forward to I did listen last time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So it's four. Oh, wow. What did I talk about? I don't know. My brain scrambled eggs after 4 hours. But 4 to 7.
4 to 7
tomorrow on Black and Right Radio here on AM 560. The Answer. Your merchandise can be found.
BlackandRightRadio.com.
BlackandRightRadio.com. Yes. All right.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.